think that she experienced the HL on this day. Drop all the other.
I put it.
My son.
I told her.
For the bar mitzvah, he made a seal on we yom it together, and for his bar mitzvah, the Rosh Hashanah, he spoke about the Shmiat Seirah. So my wife has a cousin who's like, you know, very nice lady, but you know, not necessarily somebody who's like, you know, into the circuits of focus on us yom kippurim, you know, or anything close to it. But after he finished, you know, giving the shiur, for his bar mitzvah, she came over to him, and she was so excited. I almost never saw anything like it. Like, she was just over the top with excitement. She said, I don't have words to thank you. She said, I've been obsessed with these goats for years, you know. And now I really, like, you know, have, you know, you've illuminated the goats for me. So I learned from there, which never underestimate, you know, if people give it a chance, you know, the exposure to authentic Torah will excite people. So maybe you should do this year in August.
Yeah, well, this will be the trial. You okay to start?
The second coming of the goats.
Yeah, please.
Okay, so the shiur today is going to be a little broader than last time, but I am hoping that, like, both the broad strokes and maybe the finer strokes, like, everyone here will be able to appreciate. I want to focus today on Shayari Menachos, specifically the Mitzvah Achila. Most, but probably all of the Moneha Mitzvos count Achilas Shayari Menachos as one of the Taryag. Their debate, which is going to be the subject of today's Chabura, is merely how and in what way to count that mitzvah. What role does Achilas HaShirayim play, if any, in Hakravas HaMenachos, primarily Menachos HaNikmitzos, but also its absence from Minchas Kohen Unesachem on one extreme, and Menachos that are entirely eaten, like the Shnei Alechem and Alechem Aponim on the other. What we'll be dealing with is exclusively Menachos HaNikmitzos, but I'm wondering this now, if it does have implications on those extremes as well. But before we get to that, I want to just address Achilas HaKorban in general, relative to other aspects of Avodas HaKorban. The role of Achila, we have the phrase that, like, we're all familiar with, of Kohanim Ochlim Ubailim Miskaprim, that it has a role in the first place, Achila, in Hakrabas HaKorbanos and in the Mikdash itself requires, of course, tremendous explanation, both legally, like, / halachically, and also philosophically. Like, philosophically speaking, sacrifice and withdrawal, as far as Avodas Hashem is concerned, is for the most part antithetical with or to physical indulgence, to eating for oneself. So the question, basically, indeed, if you look at the Gemara on the first source on the sheet, the Gemara in Yoma, Samechesem, and Beis, the Shaka Vatarya really captures, you know, the inner tension that exists in Achilas HaKorbanos. Gemara there is addressing the question of whether or not Bigdei Kohuna are Nitnu Lehanos Bahem. Can the Kohanim derive personal benefit while wearing the Bigdei Kohuna from the Bigdei Kohuna? So Gemara asks that question, Bigdei Kohuna Nitnu Lehanos Bahem, O Lo Nitnu Lehanos Bahem. The Gemara says, Tashma, Lo hayu yishenim bebigdei kodesh. A person can't sleep. Kohen can't sleep while donning the bigdei kohuna. Gemara makes a diuk. Shenahu delo hamechal achli. They can't sleep in them, but they could eat in them. Totally tangentially, I just think it's worth pointing this out. The Gemara seems to be assuming that as far as hana'a is concerned, achila is less of a personal hana'a than shena. So while shena would be prohibited, achila would be permissible. That might just be an issue of shema yafiach bahen, which is how Rashi explains the Gemara there, but it's also worth thinking about if from the perspective of hana'a itself, we consider eating to be less, I'll say like this, sleeping to be more of like a personal enjoyment more personal than achila. It reminds me of like a very interesting comment that the Bach makes.
The tenacious labels to him mean like
you can wear them. You can wear them while doing these actions.
I mean, you're like you're getting a hana of something while wearing
them. Exactly.
It doesn't mean deriving benefit from the big dick.
I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, technically, you're not deriving benefit, but
you know, I'm just
yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. I alluded to that in some. Yeah. Exactly. The Bach makes this comment when it comes to the phenomenon of davening Shachris Shabbos morning later. He says a comment that like Shena Shachris, like specifically Shachris, is like is oneg. So we don't want to take that away from people on Shabbos day. So we have like 9 o'clock minyanim, 8:30 minyanim. I remember, I think I heard Reb Rosenzweig one time speak about that question. So the Bach makes that comment. It just, again, just something to think about, but really not the focus right now. So the Gemara, at any rate, seems to think that achila, they'd be allowed to wear them during achila, and therefore that would be a raya that mutar lehanos bahen. It's an amazing assumption in the Gemara, because remember, we're talking about achilas kachim. That's the pashtus. And the Gemara is saying, when kohanim are eating kachim, that's their own hana. You know, you would never say that about any of the other stages of avodah. They're wearing the big day kuna. Of course, they're allowed to, and in many cases, they're obligated to. But the Gemara here in the Havamina is assuming that achila indicates mutar lehanos bahen. Not, that's kind of one side of the equation. It kind of confirms like my question of, you know, how can achila possibly be avodas hakodesh? You know, here the Gemara is basically saying, of course, it's not. So, not surprisingly, the Gemara rejects that and says, "Dilma shayni achila, titzorech avodehi kiditanya va'achlu osama shakuber bohem milame chakwanim ochlum ba'le miskaprim." You know, the matter is settled. You know, of course, this is not personal benefit. This is something they are mandated to do, and plays constitutes a certain position and role in the hakravas hakorban. As it happens, the achronim were very troubled. In the maskana, they were unsatisfied. They felt the Gemara is not taking this far enough. All the Gemara says about achilas kachim is tzorech hejod. Tzorech hejod is a far cry from something which is an integral role in the avoda. It should say something more like, you know, it gives you kapara. It's part of the avoda. Sorry. What?
It says tzorech avoda, right?
It's just tzorech avoda rather than avoda or something more. And so they were bothered by that. If you look at the Sfas Emes, I don't want to spend too much time on this. It's really just to highlight a point. But basically, it says shiny achila tzarech avoda. He tzarech in the kad mashu dein elot tzarech avoda. Ubepsachim amrinan de achilas kachim higufa nikra avoda, which led Rav Yashiv to make. Again, I think this is objectively a potential read, but Rav Yashiv thought that because of this question, because if we really were talking about achilas kachim, it would be a full blown avoda. It must be talking about achilas chulin. And the din of Limashcha, Achilas Halasova. Just fascinating assumption. Then the entire Gemara is kind of about, there's not even a Havamina. The whole Gemara is about Achilas Chulin and not Achilas Kachim because of how prominent, in the end, Achilas Kachim is. I think it's worth bringing, you know, to the picture, though, that Rabbeinu Hananel adjusts the girsa a little bit and kind of says, and I think they'd be satisfied by this, but they don't quote it, that Dilma Shani Achila Deisbe Kapara Ke Avodehi. He goes a little bit further than the Gemara and really establishes Achila to what, you know, they all want it to be. If you recall, you know, this same kind of a phenomenon where Achila's Kachim, on the one hand for sure, Kohanim Ochlim V'Balim Eskaprim, we know that, but at the same time, it's kind of treated with like a lesser status, I think because of, you know, the inherent problems. You'll recall the Gemara in Menachos on Tesem and Aleph, we saw earlier in the year, where the Gemara is talking about the question of achila behechal and shchitas chulin behechal. And there the Gemara also, it's very interesting, says, while it's very comfortable countenancing shchitas chulin behechal because it's avodas rabo, the Gemara thinks that logically, unless we had a pasuk, we wouldn't say the same about achilas shayari menachos, and by extension, probably other kachin. Because that's achila, and Rashi says, lav orech ara, that a person should be eating something that's a personal thing in the place, b'makom rabo. It's not proper for a person to do in the Heichal, in the Kodesh. There are countless other sources. I thought that Gemara and Yuma was really important, and Menachos was one, you know, that we came across in the Limud. But both of them clearly highlight kind of this tension that I think just endemically exists in the question of Achila, you know, playing such an outsized role in Hakravas HaKorban. There's actually like a very interesting legal history to this question, a different kind of legal history. The Netziv, really throughout HaMikdavar, and I'm sure it appears in the other places too, I'm just not as familiar, develops in the idea at length where he argues that there's an Isser to bring a Korban with the intention for the sake of Achilas Basar. That a person's going to bring a Korban because he wants to eat the meat. That he thinks is an Isser. It has to have absolute kavana l'shem Hashem. Again, in his case, just to be honest, he's dealing with shlamim in particular, but he has a line. If you turn your attention to source number 4 on the sheet, so it's right over here. Let's skip to the second nitziv, but it's the bottom on page 1. This is the one in Achrimos, the one in Perek Zion, was in Parsha Tzav. So he says, "Dibe." Eretz Yisrael Shehaya Basar Taiva Mutter. I'll get back to the fuller comments in a minute. Haya Asur Lahavi Shlamim Kedei Lechol Habasar Lite. Avon De Mishulchan Gavo Kazachu Umi Sheochal Basar Korban Harez Adom Elochal Ashulchan Oshamelech. And he kind of says the same thing in different words in the earlier HaMikdavar. There is an actual Isser. It has to have Kavana L'Shem Shemaim purely. And then in the aftermath of having done what you're supposed to do following the protocol, so ultimately, then Mishulchan Gavoh Kazachu, then it's totally permissible, if not a mitzvah, to eat the basar. But when it comes, what the Netziv is dealing with is that when it came to the midbar, where shchitas basar shchuta, he's working within this view, that basar shchuta was prohibited l'te'avon. So then the Hakadosh Baruch Hu, only in the time of the midbar, gave Klal Yisrael a special heter. He raised or lifted the Isser, you know, as a Horah Shah, that they should be able to bring Kachin l'Nafsham l'Te'avo. The only way, in other words, to eat Shchitas Chulin was to bring it, to eat Basar Shchuta was to bring it as a Korban, B'Torah's Korban as a Shlamim. So because that was the only Heter, they were able to bring those Shlamim l'Tavasam, but they obviously still had the option available to them to bring it completely l'Shem Shamayim. And that's what the Netziv is dealing with. But, and here's the most central point, is that even though it was permissible for them to do it, the identity and even the sanctity of the Karbanos was derogated, was downgraded in a major way. Given the option, you had two options. They weren't just two equal options, but the Kedusha of the one that was brought for the people's own sake, had a lower status. And he says there were two nafkaminas, halacha l'maisa. Says that when it came to those korbanos, you know, the Hora Hashah korbanos, there was no mitzvahs achilas basar. After you bring the korban, they were allowed to eat it, but there was no mitzvah, didn't constitute a mitzvah d'oraisa. Number one. And number two, if a person had tumas aguf and ate basar that was tahor, there would be no karis. That just the sanctity of the basar is on a lower level, it doesn't even have kedusha, to the point that there's not even a mitzvah to eat the basar, and there's no chiyuv kares for someone who is tameh. It's out, yeah.
You're equating chiyuv kares with kohanim and bailim in one category?
I thought I alluded to that. I mean, the Netziv is speaking, just to be fair, about Shlamim, but I think about Achilas Bailim, sorry, yeah, and Shlamim. But I think the same point kind of comes out of this as it did the other ones. Because I'm making more of a general comment.
I'm saying the Kapara point is only about
Achilas. Yeah, 100%. But he's saying even Bailim, there'd be a mitzvah to eat the basar. This is assuming that. And if you bring a Shlamim and you eat the basar, again, we'll see that's a question a little bit. Everyone probably thinks there's some mitzvah to it. Again, it's maybe a question just how to count it. But he says there's a mitzvah. The point is that when it's not brought l'shem korban completely, exclusively, so then there's no mitzvah. So I'm just using that as a parallel to say that, you know, achila could objectively be perceived as a lower level as non hakrava, and it's completely, you know, for a person personal enjoyment. And that tension is expressed in these karbanos. And what I also wanted to bring out of the nitzir from this is that it also sheds a lot of light on the beginning of an answer of how a little bit to understand it. That it's particularly the process of hakrava that a person is committed to and that the protocol is followed that transforms the korban into something that can rise to the level of mitzvah. If it undergoes that process, a transformation happens, and then and only then does the maisa hakrava ultimately result in a more elevated basar and mitzvahs achila. I think that will be important. Yeah.
No, sorry. You can finish, but this would help it work very well with the factor of nechal al silva and the fact that to get to a place of silva is kitzorah, but not like an integral part of the kafara.
Right. You'd want to like also factor that into this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. The achila that you're going to have is going to take on.
Right. Right. Even achila is cooler. Right. Right. 100%.
And that would work with the nesiv. No, it's something you can't go. Bring a karma to eat for purposes of nafila, doesn't even work out. You're not going to have to eat at all. So anyway, so you're going to, the achila sabasar is not going to time anyway.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that the achila sova thing, yeah, works very nicely. But I think that'll be important, just in terms of thinking about a little bit, that because the process of akrava is ultimately what like leaves its imprint, like its stamp on, you know, the rest of the korban, the shirayim of the korban. So I think it's already a little bit of opening. Like maybe, you know, depends on the process of hakrava. Maybe the particular korban that you're bringing, it makes a difference. It's just something to think about. Since that's ultimately what redeems what's otherwise, you know, let's say opposite of, let's say avodas Hashem and korban and more hanas adam. That's kind of what affects the transformation.
Oh. Interpretation.
What do you mean?
Meaning that what the Nitziv underscores in other Makaros also is that it's part of the Hagdara of Achila as an Avoda is because we should.
Yeah, I know, I do think that. Right. I was just trying to keep it broad just because like that also needs to be explained to
me. Meaning, is it the Hakrava or. Right. I'm saying that because it transforms into that.
Right. Exactly. The Mishnah, yeah.
In the Achila, which is Mechaper, which is a mitzvah, is the Achila Mishnah.
Yes, exactly. Which is connected to, obviously, that you brought it through this.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, what? Yeah, I think so. That's why I think Mishnah Avodah Hazachu, that's one reason I just avoided saying it as the only part. There's more to explain. I'm just trying to give, you know, make people feel the problem, and then just give a little bit of an answer based on this. And I just think it's very instructive, and that's kind of on more like the philosophical side. Not when you guys heard me say philosophical, you're probably thinking like where I'm going to go. It's not so philosophical, but it's more of like a bigger question about it. You know, like more in the impressions. The Rishonim struggled more with the legal and halachic question, less with the philosophical one, but more with like the halachic conundrum posed by Kohanim Ochlim Ubai Lemiskaprim. Basically asking, like, is it really true? Like, to what extent is it really correct to say that the kapara sabailim is talui on the achilas hakorban? Because we find many evidence that indicates that it just isn't completely true. In nitzmu habasar, you know, we know the korban is kasher, and even alu lubailim l'shem chova, you don't need to bring another one. But again, that's the question. And certainly according to Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, who holds in Ein Basar, Yesh Dam, you can go before Zrika, you know, you don't have Basar at all, you can go right ahead. So, you know, that kind of, you know, demands an explanation in light of Kohanim Ochlim Ubaila Miskapim. The Karen Ora in Yevamos, we might see it or not, argued, you know, for this very in very strong terms, that we should kind of see Kohanim Ochlim Ubaila Miskapim as a melitza. Like from like Rashi a few parshas ago, I know Yoni and I, Yoni Olson and I, got very excited about in Parshas Tzav when the pigle stuff came up, if you remember. So one of those Rashis kind of says, like, the reason we read the Pasuk Shelo Kipshuto and interpret it about Pigel, because it's like, what does it mean? You know, 3 days later, you eat the, you know, you eat Nosar, and then Lemafreya, the Korban's not going to be kosher. Like, the Karen Ora is like, just mentions that as a comment. Like, how could the Achil, which happens way later than the Iker Hartzos HaKorban, Lemafreya invalidate the whole process? He says, you know, it's not like the best. He said, I know that you can be doche. You know, I know it's not the strongest raya, but to me, that's kind of just like saying, like, it just bothered, you know, it just bothered him that would be true. And this is the example kind of he gave to express that trouble, you know, that he clearly felt about it. You know, but this is a question, you know, that the Rishonim deal with, and they try to understand. The Chachmei Svarad and Yivamos, so I guess Yivamos in some ways is like Hudson. So in Yivamos, they deal with it, Tosos and Zvachim and Psachim, not in Yivamos, grappled with this question and took it very seriously. And I think that that's just like very important. Even if in the end you say things like Mitzvah and Amuvchar or not, you know, at least initially they took it as like a real question. So the Gemara in Yivamos, it's on the sheet, probably page 2. Yeah. Gemara in Yivamos, Tav Tzadi, is talking about the sugi in general, like Kiras Davar Min HaTorah. If the Chachamim can be Oker Davar Min HaTorah, I assume it's like one of the main Gemaras for that. And it's talking about a case where you have Basar Tahor and Dam Tameh. And the Gemara says you can do Zrika Min HaTorah, but the Chachamim say that Midrabanan, you shouldn't eat the Basar, which is Tahor. And the Gemara asks, how can the Chachamim do this? How can the Chachamim tell you not to eat the Basar Tahor? If you look in the Gemara, Tashma Adam Shenitma Vizarku B'Shogeg Hurtza B'Meizid Lo Hurtza V'Hacha Midimaraisa Artsuyei Martza D'Tanya Al Mahatzitz Miratza L'Adam V'Ala Basar V'Ala Chelev Shenitma B'Ein B'Shogeg B'Ein B'Meizid B'Ein 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 So why are they saying that it's Lo Hurtza? The Kahadr Ma'ayel Chul Nazara. So they're going to require you to bring another korban. Bring chul, and you don't really need to because Tomo Tribut Tzibor. Sorry, the Tzitz is Miratza, excuse me, for the Dam. And you shouldn't need to bring another korban. How could that be? So Amar Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina. Again, I said this outside. My lo hurtza dika amar. The lo hurtza is lahatir baser ba'achila aval ba'alim niskaprubo. You got kapara, but you just, because you were makar of the dam, but you just can't eat it. So this is, of course, like a perfect moment, and we all know like what's coming next. You know, what do you mean you got kapara, the ba'alim got kapara, but you can't eat it? And the girsa that Rashi has, what's the problem, you know, with you know, preventing achilas basar? This is the girsa we have, and the girsa Rashi has. Sov sov kamis akra achilas basar uksiv va'achlu osama shakuber melamid shakar mochu ba'al miskarbin. Why can the chachamim be oker that? We have a mitzvah the araisa. Again, all the rishonim count this in one way or another to eat the basar, you know, kachim. So how can the Chachamim tell you not to eat the basar, which is midoraisa, perfectly fine to eat? Akira's davar min haTorah. So this is where the Gemara answers. I guess it's an important instance. Amarle shevi al tasei adif. You're right. It's a mitzvah tasei midoraisa. You know, unfortunately, you know, you won't be mekayim that mitzvah tasei. But the Chachamim can do that. They felt there was a necessary reason to do that, and they could do it b'shevi al tasei. Tell you not to eat. That's totally fine. That's the girsa that Rashi has in the Gemara. But there was this other girsa, you know, originally in the Ramban here, and then attributed later by the Rashba and the Ritva to Rabbeinu Chananel, that thought the Gemara was asking about the Kapar itself. That the Bailim, they actually don't get Kapara, even if the Dam has been offered, because the basar is also part of the hakrava, and it would be incorrect to say that the bailim were hurtza, that they've received kapara. If you look in the Ramban, just to get the question on the record, he says the kevan de basar lo mis achil. This is the girsa he seems to have had. Bailim hechi miskapri. Not that there's an outstanding mitzvah saseh, but you said the dam was enough, but it's not true. And this kind of girsa, which makes it sound like the kapara is missing, there's a chisaron in the kapara, and that you would have to bring another korban. By the way, really troubled the Ramban. You know, we raised these questions earlier, but is that really true? Ramban says, "Kashili v'halo habasur shenitzma eno nechal olam she'enat zitz meratze ala ochlin." His view, "Lahachil b'tumas basar v'afal pikein habayla miskaprim b'dam v'kolshkein l'divrei Rabbi Eliezer." It wasn't my own ingenuity. You know, I was just quoting earlier from the Ramban. "Shamar she'afal pi she'en basar ela shenisraf yesh dam shezorek es adam v'hurtza kedisa b'psachem v'menachos." Ayin Shem. And the Ramban leaves it kind of as an open question. He doesn't give an answer. How could this be? We know it's not true that HaKohanim Ochlin, that the Kaparas Balam is Toloi on Kohanim Ochlin in all circumstances. And therefore, it shouldn't be true here either. That's the Ramban's assumption. That if it's true in those instances, it should also be true here. And he just goes on to quote Rashi's Gersa, the Gersa that we have, very notably. But while the Ramban kind of leaves this, he's silent. You know, I think it's a deafening silence. The Rashba and the Ritva, really all the other Rishonim, Tosas, also more or less give the same answer. Yeah.
Isn't the Ramban saying he seems to be bothered, shouldn't find the Hechem as Kapri, but then, meaning the two examples he gives after are examples where he, which is so silly, that clock. Right? Meaning he's saying, don't you see from Yeshiva?
Yeah, so he doesn't understand how the Gemara could have such a question.
Meaning,
according to him, the Gemara is asking, how could you say you can't eat the basar, the Baalim won't get kapara? And how could the Chacham have the right to withhold kapara?
I thought you were saying that the Ramban was like Matmiya, like how could the Gemara suggest that you could do without Achilas HaKohanim, he's not going
to
get
kapara? No, that would be one way to understand it. The Ramban might go the other way, which is, if it's true, the Kash is on these examples.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to suggest that in the end, that the Ramban kind of felt like you can't have it both ways. But for now, I think the Ramban leaves it as a Tzarech Ian for now.
Okay.
He just doesn't have a Tzarech Ian there, but he's bothered by it.
Yeah.
The other Rishonim just make a distinction. Again, it's a distinction I think the Ramban could have come up with. But they make this in more or less, it's the same in all of the Rishonim, where they basically say, we'll read it inside the Rashba, but that if you can eat the basar, if the basar is available to you, then it's ma'akev. And that's, in this case over here, obviously the basar is tahor. But if you can't, if it becomes tameh, or you lose it, or it's yotze, or lina, any of those, so then that's fine. In other words, it's a contingent ma'akev to the kapara, the achilas basar. There's a little bit of a question in the Lashonos of like the Rashba and the Ritva and some of the others, if the way to explain it is that when the basar is available to eat, the eating per se provides the additional necessary element of kapara, or that the abstention, the neglect to eat meat that you could have, creates a chisaron, like the neglect undermines it. I think that's a little bit of an interesting question in these Rishonim here. I don't want to be miyaches to it too much, and you don't have to take my word for it, but just something to think about. Either way, the distinction that they uphold is the same. If you look in the Rashba, he says ve'efshar li lomar. He quotes Rabbi Nachananel. Only he mentions the Ramban, and then he says ve'efshar li lomar de kol shelo nitma basar ve'efshar la ochla im lo nechal habasar af bailei lo niskapru de gzeras hakosavhi. I think he says the first way I said it de kol she'efshar li basar le ochel. I think it's a very important line. In the Rashba here in this is like adding an extra line in, kind of saying like, if it was really true, I'm wondering this. Is Rashba saying, if it was really true that the kapara of achila was so intrinsic, you know, so much was the kapara tole on it, just like Zrikas Adam, maybe the Torah would have told us to go ahead and eat the basar shenitma anyway. But the fact that we have no way out, like maybe the tzitz isn't meratze, you know, for the basar, but only for the dam, maybe that's kind of like a way of saying that there must be a difference between basar and dam's kapara in this respect. That's just an extra line in that we don't have in the Ritva.
Joshua.
but yeah.
Rashi was saying that the Ritzai at Sitz is not just on the dam, but it's on the factory.
No, I think he's saying Shatzitz Miratzeh works where it needs to work. It works on the Zrika, but not on the Basar. I know, that's a struggle, that underline you're talking about, right?
I thought it sounded like he's saying...
It sounds like he's saying the Basar, but that wouldn't make sense, because then you'd be able to eat it.
No, I
understand. Maskin, exactly. Right. He's also saying, right, I thought that also, right. He's also saying, very right, that even when you can't eat it,
you
still need to address it.
Right, and it is addressed.
Okay. Exactly, but not al yedei achila. Yeah, exactly. Very good. Yeah, thank you for... I was going to forget that. Thank you. Yeah. So I think that's like an extra additional little nuance in the Rashba. But more or less the distinction is that. Yeah.
I think even when the Tzitzit Menasseh, you can't
do it. Yeah, exactly. That's what me and Mencina are saying. The question is why the Rashba needed to say it at all. Because if we're saying you don't need Achila when the Basar is Tameh, and that's fine, the Kapar is good, so the Rashba doesn't need to say anything else. So Ben Sion is suggesting that maybe even though you lamaisa you can't eat it, that doesn't mean it's like a non-factor at all. You still need to address the basar in some way. So Ben Sion saying that tzitzis meratze legabe the basar you can't eat, and files it in to the shar hakorban. Yeah, I think it's a fascinating yisod. Yeah, that was Ben Sion saying.
I'm curious if that's a shot, but it's consuming means it's not, no longer here. This because the holy speculative.
Right, only if it's Tameh. Maybe what if it's Nevad?
What?
Right.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, whatever. Again, it's something to deal with. I did say at the beginning, I promised that I would focus mostly on Shirei Menachos, and I will hold myself to that, Im Yirtzeh Hashem. Just to round out this reading of the Shaka V'Tarya, so the question is, how do you read the Gemara's answer? Amar Le Shevi Al Ta'aseh Shaini. Yeah, brother.
Sorry, just quickly, maybe before you were saying...
I should take notes on people's things. What? Yeah, what were you saying?
You said it wasn't clear whether or not it's the eating that provides the kapara or the neglect.
Or the neglect, right.
So, were you thinking that that's a possible read in the Rashba?
I think it's the Rashba. You disagree?
I don't know. I mean, I think...
I thought the way the Rashba says, like, Zeres HaKasav Sheyochal, you'll see the Ritva. I'm more saying it once I saw the Ritva. You can look at the Ritva. I'm not going to read the Ritva, but I thought the Ritva, yeah.
Okay, so I thought the Rashba was more like the second one.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't sure, 100%. Either way, it's an open question. I don't know. Yeah, I can't say for sure which one it is. Gevaldik. So, how do you answer the Gemara? Gemara is saying, how could the Chachamim withhold Kaparas Bailim? There's going to be no Kapara for the Bailim if you don't eat the Basar. So, the way the Ramban was silent on the first point, the Rashba is silent on the second. But the Ritva, Shalsheles HaMasora, the Ritva comes along and tries to explain the Girsa according to that. The Ritva, do I have it here? Yeah, source number 9. Sorry, did I mention the Rashba, Lefishat Zibn Ratz, I'm sorry. I'm just going back to the Rashba for a minute, I forgot this important point. He says, V'yeshanu kayotze beze baktara seymurim. V'chiyisnu ma'akvi basar me'achilu v'chilesnu kigon chenitmu sha'avdu lo ma'akvim. He quotes the Gemara in Taminishcha and also another Gemara in Yevamos. He just points out that this distinction that the Rashba as well as the other Rishonim make is parallel to the question of Haktara Seymurim. Haktara Seymurim, when you have them, they're Ma'akev. When you don't have them, they're not Ma'akev. But it's important to point out that there are two Haktara Seymurim. What do I mean? There's the Haktara Seymurim that is related... What?
Rashba also says that.
Yeah, that's what he says. That's what he says. The one that Rashba is talking about, that's a better way to say it, the one that Rashba was talking about is the Haktara Seymurim that is a matir for Achilas Basar. When you have the Emurim available, you can't eat the Basar before you do Haktara. When you don't have them, when they're Nevad or Nitma, then you could eat the Basar even though you weren't matir the Emurim. But there's another, and that's the one that the Rashba is comparing to Achilas Basar vis-a-vis the Korban. But the other Haktara Seymurim is also a question. That's not the one the Rashba thinks is a parallel, is Haktara Seymurim vis-a-vis the Korban. What role, the same way we're asking what role does Achila play to the Korban, so what role does being Maktir the Emurim play to the Korban? So there, as we know, it's not Ma'akev either. If you are Maktir the Korban, you're Zorig the Dam, and you're never Maktir the Emurim, you're Yotze, you know, you get full Kapara. And I think it's worth pointing out that It's not the parallel the Rashba chooses, because I think it's different in like an ironic way. Like if I asked you, like which one would be more central to the korban, if you had to pick one of them had to be. If I ask, do people do that? If I ask, what would people say? You would probably say Emurim. Are you just saying that because you know that's what I would say?
No.
Yeah, Haktara is Emurim. But I don't think, and when I say like, as far as I know, I didn't do extensive research on this. As far as I know, there's never a phrase, you know, Haktara is Emurim, you know, Mizbeach, Ochlim, Ubalim, Miskapim. What we know about it, I just know this from Tfilas Arvis for Shusugya, is that it's a mitzvah min amuvchar to do it. But you never get the same, like, you know, stakes in terms of what happens to the fate of the korban in its absence, as you do when it comes to achilas basar. I just think it's worth pointing out that even relative to haktaras emurim, achilas ha'adam, achilas kohen, seems to play an even greater role, serves a greater function in the korban than just what's a mitzvah min amuvchar. What's Tosfos lashon? I put it here. Yeah, it's just like mitzvah lahakdir, you know, it's like, it's just a mitzvah in source number 8. So that's just another point that we need to keep in mind as we continue to the sugya. It's very crucial. Yeah?
It doesn't really answer your question, just put a minor point on it. Like, it seems there are no consequences if you're not matir before.
Well, no, but there is. That's what's funny about it. Like, you do need it to be matir the buster when you have it.
No, if you're not matir the buster, they're absent. Not
right.
It's in the absence of a third.
There are less consequences.
There are no consequences.
That's isn't that fascinating?
It is fascinating. But
yeah.
What's even more fascinating is that the read of Sukkot, what seems to be the anchor of the carbon, is the third Zimur. This Rika.
Yeah, yeah.
Seems to be a
right, like Ola is Al Shem.
Exactly.
The Haktara, yeah.
And you could tie someone into the Sugya of Ibusering down in the back of the Rashi, never place says that the Kulti Krishna's Rika and Allah had to read him and
not feel right.
It doesn't help completely because that's also for the Achilas Kayhan. And it's, I think, much harder to say that if you're thinking about the carbon as a whole, that the ikar of the carbon is the achilas basar of the kehan. But it's much easier to say if the question only was on the Torah Seymour, right? If the rashi only said achilas basar more than the veil, but not achilas basar, then you could really strengthen that point. Once it includes the achilas kehan as well, I don't think anybody reads the sukkim and says the ikar of the carbon is the Torah Seymour and the.
Right.
I think it doesn't seem to have that much currency.
Well, I think more that like there's this interesting interplay between, like, typically we're used to thinking about things that are ma'akev as like the most central, but I think what's interesting about korbanos is that you kind of find some things that are ma'akev and like less central, and some things that are not ma'akev and are like more crucial.
You make an argument that Achilas Mizbeach is some truth.
It's like Haktara could be, I'm not, that's why I didn't say anything more. Like, I think Haktara could in some ways be more important in terms of like conceptually telling us about the nature of this korban, but then like Ladina, it may not be. But this is very, again, we're not on our topic now. What? I mean, it's a little bit.
It is the ikar because that's what it does. In other words, it's not
right.
Achilas Kehanim is for, as you want to say, let's say the purpose of Achilas Kehanim is kapara. It's not obvious. You say it does that, but it's not its purpose. It's a mitzvah.
Okay.
Part of the Seder Veda. But you could, if you say that, you could make the argument that for care, the Achilas Kehanim is not a bearing kapara, because that's what it is. It's kapara itself. It's Haktara. It's
Achilles Mizbeach.
Right.
That's all it is. I think it's an open question.
It's even more important. It's not because of Kapara. It's because that itself is
right.
Is a Haktara.
Okay, good. So in the end of the day, this is the distinction that they make to explain the discrepancies of in Nebailim, Ochlim, Kohanim, Ochlim. I think it does that too. It's like a tongue twister. Kohanim, maybe just for me. Kohanim, Ochlim, Ubailim, Miskaprim. Maybe it is a tongue twister, now that I'm thinking about it. Because it is like an interesting thing, right? Like the Kohanim are doing the eating, and the Balaam are getting the kapara. No, okay. So Kohanim, Ochlim, Balaam, that's how they explain the discrepancies that you find in the sugyas. To round out the sugya, why are the Rabbanan allowed to do that? Doesn't it, after all, forestall the kapara. So the Ritva picks up where his Rebbeim left off and says, right here, Ki chacha, the very end of source number 9, he says, "Abshar l'idav gir segeish lefari shevi al tase shayni ki chachamim patruhu min hakorban." It's very fascinating. V'she yiskabru b'aylam below achilas basar. What should have happened is because the basar wasn't eaten, the balim should be obligated to bring a second korban. So what the Gemara is saying is, according to the Ritva, chachamim b'shevi al tase told the guy he doesn't need to bring another korban, he's exempt, he's potter, and that memela, the balim will get kapara without achilas basar. Very much, very tamua. The Meiri says something which to me is a little bit more, at least more readily accessible. I don't want to cast aside the Ritva just yet, but the Meiri says like an interesting shot that if the Chachamim tell you can't eat it, that ends up becoming b'toras i'efshar. The same way, basar that shenitma is unavailable to you, and therefore you're not, you know, it's not going to prevent the kapara. So if Chazal tell a person they can't eat, so halacha l'maisa they can't eat, and if they can't eat, then that is not considered neglect. And you'll be able to get kapara. So he says, "Yesh bo chachamim lifsol achilaso ve'in kapara tavaylam nimnaas dekach shalo nemar ela bishi ifshar libasar sheye ochel." And this is reminiscent of a line in Sachim that says the same thing, kind of about a different case that kevan delo ifshar asaum kimisha nitmu o she'avdu. He's speaking there about the inability to be maktir the emurim. Because of actually Nasei D'Araisa, and therefore it's not going to be an ikuv tachilas basar. That's how the Meiri understands it. And the Ritva, they both have different takes on the question. And the Ritva, you know, definitely needs further explanation.
Josh,
yeah.
I think there's something around this. I don't know if you're going to address how this fits with the Machlokas Tanoim regarding Hatzis Ma'at Zalachilos, but I think I was a little confused, specifically because the Rashba brings in Lefisha Tzitz Meratze, like, unless I'm missing something, it doesn't sound like he's really answering the Ramban's question. Like, the Ramban was asking, like, the Gemara is Matmiya, how could it be without Achila Sakohanim? And he asks, Lefi Lamanda Omar, that Ein Hatzitz Meratze al Achilos.
The Rashba is too. But the Rashba thinks you can't eat the Basar.
So then why is he bringing in Lefisha Tzitz Meratze?
So
what's the other man that we're going to say?
Yeah, so I think what the Rosh was doing, it's like an interesting move. He's taking a view in between, like Tzitz Meratze al Achilos and Tzitz Ena Meratze al Achilos. He's saying, the Tzitz is not Meratze, legabe, your permission, of ability to eat it, but maybe it's Meratze, klape the din, of Kohanim Ochlem Ubalim Eskaprim. It's a little bit of a chiddush.
I'm saying, isn't that...
You need to address it. In other words, the Rashba could have said that if the basar becomes tamei, then that's fine. In other words, the basar is not a factor at all anymore. It plays no role in the korban. Yeah.
Doesn't everyone agree? No one interprets Hatzitz Matzal Achilos that you're allowed to eat the basar. Does anyone say that? Meaning...
So maybe I just don't know what...
Meaning...
what it means. Since Meratz al
Achilas. Thoroughly, but at least legabe the din of, let's say,
right. Like, why should be able to eat it?
Chometz, so, from the Mishnah Menachos, it's clear.
Right,
that
why am I assuming?
If the chometz becomes tummy, you're not supposed to be makta the chometz. If one is makta the chometz, then achar kach that sits is meratzin. So.
No, but isn't the board over there that you could eat the rest of the lechem? If you would say that the tzitz is meratze?
No, right, but I'm saying, but the shirayim aren't tummy, the komets is tummy. I'm just saying, when we're discussing ritzui tzitz, ritzui tzitz doesn't mean that lechatchila you're supposed to be machdir the komets. It means that in the event that you did so anyway, so it was
right.
All the lebayim b'dieved. So when we
say... I understand what you're saying.
Right.
I have to think about it. I don't want to think about it. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's a good question.
So like that's...
So you have to figure that out.
Me a lot because if that's really that machlokes tanoim, so then, like, how exactly like, how exactly are we answering this question? Like, the man de Omar who holds, can say that, yeah, inochinami, that kampara is contingent, that the chilas kohanim is a contingent kampara because of the tzitz.
Right.
But then what's the other
one? I don't think the answer in the end of the day than the one we said, Ben Sio and I were discussing this earlier, I don't know if the answer would be so different, but I hear your question.
Okay.
And I was not clear about that because of my misunderstanding.
Okay.
You know, with the...
I was also like, because of what we said, like, I was hesitating to assume, I think that
yeah.
should come out. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Good. The other suggestion to this question is in the, you know, quoted by Tosos in Psachim. It actually goes in like the exact opposite direction, what distinction to make to explain the discrepancies. Psachim and Tesis Beis, but it doesn't make the final cut. They have to reject it in the end, L'maskana. The Gemara Psachim deals with the following case. In our Gemara, in Yevamos, it's talking about Basar Tahor, which is Roi Min HaTorah, as you just said, to eat. But the rabbis made it Asr Midrabanah. Psachim case, that we won't read inside, but the Psachim case is a case of a Mechusar Kippurim who wants to eat Kachim, let's say like Karban Pesach. So he's now in the state of Mechusar Kippurim and he's bringing his Chatas, and the Korban lacks this case, right? Is a case where the Korban lacks the matir lebasar of haktara. So you haktara is outstanding, which means you shouldn't be able to eat the basar. And then the question is whether or not that should be an ikuv to the status of mechusar kippurim. So the Gemara there says that this fellow, these bailim, shouldn't be able to get kapara. The kohanim can't eat it because they haven't done haktara simurim. But this is the Gemara the Rashba was referring to. And because the Kohanim can't eat it, the Bailim don't receive Kapara and he remains in Mechusar Kippurim. Fascinating. He can't eat Karban Pesach. That's the Gemara there. Very similar in terms of like the case is very different, but in terms of the impact of Kohanim Ochlim, Bailim Eskaparim, it's similar to the Gemara Nivamos, Daf Tzadi. So Tosos gives a very interesting explanation, which, like I say, cuts like in the exact opposite direction. Tosa says that in Yevam, as long as the basar is chazi la'achila, the bailim receive kapara, even if the kohanim don't eat it. But if it's not chazi, and that's the case of Yevamos, midaraisa, the basar is chazi. Again, he has Rashi's girsa. Let's remember. So for him, it's just very funny how this happened. He thought Yevamos was like a raya that the kapara wasn't talui on achila. That's how he felt that the Gemara implies over there, you don't really need to eat the basar in Yevamos. That's Rashi's girsa. You don't really need to eat the basar to get kapara. But in Psachim, he does have the problem. He thinks that the kapara is contingent on achilas basar. So he says, in Yevamos, where fundamentally, in principle, it could be eaten, it's chazi la'achila, and the rabbis are prohibited it, then it's fine. Even though the Kohanim b'fo'al don't eat it. But in Psachim, where haktara hasn't happened and the basar hasn't been hutar la'achila, then it's ma'akev. What matters, according to the Riva, is whether it's chazi. You might have said, kol haroi labila, bila ina ma'akeves. But, I think importantly, Tosas doesn't say that. But I mention it as a model, a way to think about it. As long as the basar is chazi l'achila, that's fine. And he considers, obviously, in Isra Drabanan, you know, not to nevertheless constitute, if it's mitr min haTorah, a chazi. What's important in this Tosvos is that also that he assumes that haktara se murim, you know, really gets in the way, in a fundamental way, of the heter basar. Again, as far as I know, from my understanding, the way in which zrika is matir the basar is typically understood as much more crucial. That's like a lav with malchus than haktara se murim for the heter basar. That's maybe more just like an iser ba'alma, maybe an asay alone. Tosas here is assuming that if haktara hasn't been done, the way we look at the basar is that it's not even chazi. It's not that it's chazi, but you have a matir you have to deal with. Tosfos is saying it's not chazi at all. And because of that, the Rivan ends up coming up with this distinction that chazi is good enough, you don't need achila b'pol, but if not, then it's a problem. So these are kind of two kind of opposite explanations defining the role of kaparas achilas basar. To kind of like summarize them, on the one hand, Tosos is more extreme in the sense that, and again, in the end, Tosos adopts the view of the other Rishonim, but this view in Tosos, on the one hand, is more extreme in the sense that basar is always crucial for kapara. There's never a korban where at least the ability to eat the basar is relevant. It's always crucial for kapara in all cases. Masha'in came for the Rashba, Udi'imei, and Tosos in the end. It's not true. It's not always true that the basar plays a role, only when it's efshar. But when it's efshar to eat, that's totally fine. The basar plays no role. I mean, well, maybe for the Rashba he does, but for the most part, the basar plays no role at all in kaparas hakorban. And we can dispense with it entirely. In Tosos, it's never the case. Every korban, you need to address the basar. On the other hand, for Tosos, it never seems to be about actual achila, the maisa achila, as it is for the Rashba. You might even say for Tosos, who don't quote kolaroi labila, it's not that if it's you have the ability to, it's as if you did. They don't say kolaroi labila bila ina makeves, which is one way to understand that. It's not about the achila per se at all, but it's about the necessity of the korban process to make basar mutter. And it's not about achila befoa at all. So in that respect, you know, I think Tosos, you know, sees the achilas habasar, I wouldn't say as less, but certainly different than the way in which the Rashba Dime sees the role of achila. It's not about achila befoal, kohanim ochlim, but kohanim, you wouldn't even say, you would say kohanim are able to eat, you know, ubala niskaprim. It's just a way to kind of classic categorize, understand the differences between those two. Exactly. Yeah, it's a din in making the basar becoming permitted through the process of the korban. So if that doesn't happen, then you have yet to address all the things in the korban you need to.
Right. It's a din in basar roi lacking.
Exactly. That's kind of also how I usually understood the in ein basar ein dam. It's like probably the most simple way to understand that, rather than saying you actually have to eat the basar. Good. It's interesting. This is a throwaway that the Rashba never addresses the Gemara Masechim. And Tosos never addresses the Gemara Yevamos. That's probably just because Tosos had the Girsa of Rashi, and they never felt that Yevamos was any issue. You could wonder, in light of the differences between the sugyas, you know, why this is very speculative, but why the Rashba Udime never see Psachim as an evidence that Achila is that Kapar is contingent on Achila. I'm just wondering, maybe the Rashba thought that on the Haktara point, that maybe, unlike Tosos, he didn't see Haktara as really as a fundamental ikuv to the Achilas Basar. It's just something to think about. Maybe there's like a debate going on here about how important Haktara Seymurim is for the Matir of Haktara for Basar. Yeah, see. You need to do it, but fundamentally, the basar is mutter. You just can't eat it. You have a matir.
That's just matir.
Yeah. Yeah. A matir, it remains. Yeah. But, and Tosos seems to assume that at the end. Tosos in the end of, again, I'm speaking outside, but in the end, Tosos seems to assume that Haktara Seymurim is not really so fundamentally an ikuv to Achilas Basar, as the Sfas Emes points out. But the Ramban, as we mentioned, remains, you know, silent about all of this, and you wonder why he didn't make give any of these suggestions. And I think you kind of go in two opposite ways. This is what Yoni and I were talking about at the beginning of the Chabura. The Ramban could kind of drop it because, you know, he acknowledged there was this girsa. He had to deal with the girsa, and the girsa, of course, begs the question that achila should be necessary for kapara. But in the end, you know, stumped kind of by the questions he raises, that even when the basar is tameh, we find you don't need to bring another korban, in ein basar yesh dam, those kinds of things, he felt, you know, maybe it's better to adopt the Girsa of Rashi. You know, it's untenable, you know, to ever say that. And again, even if it's not the Ramban, just to be clear, this is for sure an option. It's untenable to say that the achil is ever going to rise to such a level that it will be ma'akev the kapara. So he just went with Rashi's girsa, and he was able, the questions, you know, outlive the any answer that the Rashi would give. It would be more like a mitzvah min amuvchar. And the way you'd explain the mitzvah min amuvchar in Kohanim Ochlim, Baal Miskaprim, because how do you say it's a mitzvah min amuvchar when the phrase is, v'ochlu osam asher kupar ba'em, sounds like it's part of the kapara. So how do you explain that? So, just very, very quickly, the Gemara and Zochim on the Avav, skipping a bunch of these pages in this booklet, it's over on source 16, page 4, source 14, the Gemara discusses smicha. Smicha by Korbanos. So, the Gemara there quotes the Pasuk, we're skipping to the middle, that v'samach v'nirtza. The Pasuk in Chumash implies that nirtza, ritzui, is contingent on smicha. And the Gemara basically questions that. V'chi smicha nicha peres. This would be a model, again, to see Baile Miskaprim as more external and more like a mitzvah min amuvchar. V'chi smicha nicha peres v'alo in kapara elo v'dam. How could you say, shenemar ki adam hu banefesh ichaper? How could you ever say that smicha? But sure, you spoke about smicha one time. So how could smicha ever? How could you say smicha would be mechaber? What does v'samach v'nirtza mean? It's interesting just to point out. Tosfos here basically says, what do you mean in kapara ela v'dam? Ha v'ha. What about kohanim ochlim u'bailim miskaprim? Amazing. B'perek tamin nishchat avrinan kol kama de lo ochli kohanim baser lo matzi mechaber. Tosfos quoting pshachim in test, right? That's their. So he gives his answer, which is consistent kind of a little bit, you know, with things we're saying. Like distinguishes between levels of kapara. And I think kind of that's what you're going to say over here by smicha. The Gemara continues, so what elamat hamalomar v'samach v'nir to l'chaper? Question mark. Shem asa l'smicha shayare mitzvah. What does it mean? Lo kiber v'kiper. Ema kiper gavra. Lo kiper k'me shmaya. Really, there was kapara, but you're missing something. Klape shmaya, whatever that, you know, cheshbon is, whatever that actually is, you haven't received kapara for. And the Rambam kind of just says that also, you know, it's like a shayare mitzvah. It's like an extra thing. It's important, you know, but it's not going to, you know, undermine, you know, the Iker Korban. So I think that kind of model for smicha, which is one of the earliest stages of Korban, you know, could be used for how you'd understand Kohanim Othlim Vala Miskaprim, you know, at the end of the Korban. Things that can play an important role, even if at the end of the day, they're not ma'akiv the kapara. I think you call them different things, shayari mitzvah, mitzvah mevchor. I don't mean to equate them all and say they're all the same. I'm just trying to establish there's kind of like a range, you know, on how you'll understand this, that we're finding the Rishonim. So it could be the Ramban. One way to understand the Ramban is the questions were really strong, and he felt like it was untenable to really sustain that girsa, because the whole thing of Kohanim Ochlim Baalei Miskaprim is just, you know, more, you know, extraneous. But I think another way to understand the Ramban, and this kind of might be Lishitaso, and both could be true, to be honest, that it's the exact opposite. And that if it was really true, Kohanim Othlim Ubalim Miskaprim, you know, on the most extreme way, you know, it's really part of the kapara. Maybe the Ramban thinks that making a chiluk is very hard to make. If it's really true, we never say that about dam. We never say that in some cases dam is necessary, in other cases it isn't. It plays a central role. Va'achlu osam asher kubar b'hem. Aye, but what about haktaras emurim? We find that Haktaras Emurim plays a role as the Rashba. I'm saying the Rashba used that as a raya, as a precedent for Basar. So what would the Ramban say to that? We find that the Haktaras Emurim, you know, are only necessary on a contingent basis. So I would say what I said, you know, earlier. You know, and I said that because of this. That it's possible that you may be mechalik between Kohanim Ochlim and the Haktaras Emurim. There's that's talking about Haktaras Emurim serving as a matir for the basar. So on that, from something which is a matir for the basar, you could understand as being contingent. It's not part of. It doesn't go into the file of kapara. It's just something that's necessary for you to be able to eat the basar. And matirs, I think, could be, you know, somewhat contingent. But when it comes to something which is kohanim, bailim miskaprim, it's Pasar Ramban felt that if we really take that phrase and the Gemara is really like the Girsa Rabbi Nachmanel has, maybe that he didn't think the distinction the Rashba made was compelling and was legitimate. Because it would go to the heart, achila, of what a korban is. I'll borrow a phrase from the Ramban that we'll see in just a minute. Fehem korban mamish. Achila is korban mamish. We'll see that in just a minute. So part of me wonders if maybe that's why the Ramban remains silent rather than suggest either of those options, rather than suggest an answer. But even if it's not the Ramban, because again, the Ramban didn't say anything, and I don't want to attribute too much to him, but even if it's not him, I really do think that those are, you know, kind of like the two extremes within which you kind of have the Rashba Udime, and then that Riva, which I quoted outside from Tosfos Psachim, in Tesama Beis. The Sfas Emes notes, and this is the last point of this section, that the Rambam has none of this. Rambam is even more silent, I guess, than the Ramban. He never addresses it, and the Sfas Emes, if you look, at the end of source number 17, he just has a line, just to, V'harambam lohevi b'shemakom she'ikuv kapara b'achilas hakohanim ein yodei lama. This whole literature in the Rishonim, the Rambam has none of. The question is why. But either way, what emerges from all of this is you have a range of views concerning the meaning and import of Kohanim Ochlim Ubailim Iskaprim, A, and the extent to which Basar and Achilas Basar is a core part of the Korban and Kapara, or it's a more extraneous Kiyum, Shayari Mitzvah, and Mitzvah Min HaMovchar. This distinction, this debate, is reflected in a very powerful and important way in Sefer HaMitzvos and Shoresh Yud Beis. In Shoresh Yud Beis, the Rambam and the Ramban have a debate about our question. But they're actually not talking. Okay. The reason that this comes up in Shoresh Yud Beis is because Shoresh Yud Beis talks about the klal of that. Shoresh Yud Beis discusses the klal that you don't count a chelek of a mitzvah or melacha min hamalachos. Just to paraphrase, because again, the time I know is ticking, but that something that has a single halachic identity, comprised of multiple components, or something which is like stages of a carefully orchestrated process. So what's counted is the identity or the process, the aggregate, rather than the constituent parts that make up and define that status or process. So, for example, the example that we're probably all familiar with is the Rambam on the mitzvah of Binyan HaMikdash. It's the first example he gives. I'm just not going to read it for the sake of time. I apologize. I know people appreciate the reading. But the Rambam basically says you're not going to count every v'asisa, or even the v'asu, you know, of the Aron. You're not going to count all of them separately. The point is that there's a mitzvah to build a Beis HaMikdash, but what's a Beis HaMikdash? So that is what's delineated in those parshas at the end of Sefer Shemos. That's what he calls a malacha min hamalachos or a chelek. So the reason, obviously, we could already, you know, anticipate this, our question becomes relevant in this Shoresh, because it's exactly what we're wondering about. We want to know what the role of achila is in the process of any given korban. And that's exactly what this Shoresh is about. Is it just a chelek of the korban? You have shchita, tilzrika, and then achila? Is that the way to look at it? Or does achila lie beyond the pale of, you know, the malacha manalachos of a korban? And in theory, and this is really important, we could be mechalek between korbanos and achilos, in theory. And we may be forced to, as we'll see when it comes to, for example, maybe, you know, a random example of achilas shayari menachos. But it's something to just think about, you know, because you don't have to say the same thing for every korban. How much of a natural part, or how additional and separate you know, is it part of the process? Okay, so the Rambam gives the example in source 20, the first paragraph, I said outside. And then he says, basically, Hamashal Baze Ola, another example, not when it comes to an identity, like the Beis HaMikdash, but something that's more in the way of a process, like a Korban Ola. Hinei anachnu nitzaveinu shetiyeh meleches ha'ola kach, bishi yishchata v'yashita v'yinascha v'yizrog dama al tawar kach, v'yakub chelba, v'acha girchol kol besara, im shir kach misoles blu b'shemen, v'shir kach miyang v'hem v'nesachim. And then a very interesting example, after all those things which are just part of a Torah Sa'ola, he says, v'sheyiye ora l'kohen sh'yakrivena, that you should give the skin of the Ola to the Kohen. That's all part of the Ola. V'hamalacha hazos v'chlala, hi mitzvah sase achas, in mitzvah samach gimel, v'hi Torah Sa'ola, ki kamozos hamalacha, chai chayva ha-Torah sh'tayasa kol Ola. And like one of the riots for that is, whatever the Torah says to bring an Ola, Perush, all those things. That's what it means to be an Ola. V'zeh ha-seder min ha-malachos, hi mitzvah. V'ein roi limnos kol chelik v'hem ha-malachos malachos mitzvah. But what is the exception? Like what things are not, are going to be counted independently? Things which are more generic mitzvos that apply broadly. And given that they're more generic and apply broadly, they're not going to be part of the core definition. So they'll be counted separately. Ela'im sham tzivuyim kololim mine ha-karbanos kulam v'lo yisyachlu b'min zoles min mehem she'az roi she'yimana kol tzivuy mehem le'mitzah b'fnei atzma l'vi she'ino az chelek mechelek le'az ha-korban meha-korbanos. One of the examples he gives, v'zeh kimo ha-ziru mehikr balmum. Balmum is something that encompasses all korbanos. It's not, more importantly, it's not part of the definition of an Ola. It's a more generic guideline for karbanos, Oh, another example he gives, all the examples are important, is melichas kol korban. That's another one that you're going to count that separately in minin ha-mitzvos because it's not part of the process of any particular korban. And more importantly for our purposes, is the mitzvah in the bold, if you skip ahead a little bit, v'tzavso le'achol ma'sheye ochel mimenu. He thinks also counted independently is the mitzvah of achilas ha-korbanos. And the Rambam has that in Asei Peiches and Peites. Why is it two mitzvos? That's what we'll have to discuss. But either way, he thinks that's not, I'll say like this, he thinks that's not like Or Ha'ola, the Or Ha'ola which you give to the Kohen at the end of his hakrava, but it's more like melichas korban and balmum achila. Fascinating, and that's very interesting that the Rambam thinks that. Shekol echad me'elu hatzivuyim hu mitzvah b'fnei atzma kihem ein mehem gam echad chilek mechel ki hamitzvah mikol melechas korban miyuchar aval tzivuyim kolim kol korban kemoshe nivayir bim no seinu osam v'hu mevuar. And he goes back to the example of Or Ha'ola, as if like it's an important distinction between Or Ha'ola and Achilas Habasar. V'mevur ki yos ha-kohen lokeach mashiyesho lakachas hu chelek mechelke ha-mitzvah kemo shezacharnu v'Or Ha'ola. Oh. So what's interesting is that the Rambam counts Achila as a separate mitzvah, but more importantly, that he does so even as he thinks that Or Ha'ola, and it's not just Or Ha'ola, it's the Or that the Kohen gets when he brings any Korban, that comes from Or Ha'ola. Even as that is not a separate mitzvah, and just the tail end part of the mitzvah of Melechas HaKorban, Torah's HaKorban. And which is interesting, just in many respects, Achilas HaKohanim of Basar parallels the receiving of the Or Ha'ola. Like if you look at the Psukim in Parashas Tzav, they're all listed, I think I included here in Source 21, they're all included together, they're all kind of seen as a common thing. The aspects, in other words, that the Kohen receives and either uses however he wants or in the way circumscribed by Halacha, you know, they're usually seen as like a common, and for good reason. You can make distinctions, but for good reason they're usually the same. The Rambam thinks that there's a distinction. Good. The question is, Second. Yeah. So the question is why the Rambam would make this distinction. One might suggest that what makes it in the process of a korban, and this refers to what Eli Natan and I were kind of discussing earlier, one might have suggested that what's a chelek min ha-malachos, what's the symptom of such a thing? So you might say something which is ma'akev, you know, to the korban. It's part of that mitzvah because it's ma'akev, the mitzvah. And something that is not ma'akev is going to lie outside and be counted as an independent mitzvah. That would have been a reasonable way to think about what's in one mitzvah and what's going to be a separate mitzvah. The problem is that it's so clear for the Rambam, never uses that as his criteria, but more importantly, it's not true. If the Kohen doesn't take the or, I'll say better, if you forget to do smicha, as we know from what we just learned, the korban's kasher. And yet, those are both go into the file of Torah Sa'ola. And on the other side of it, this literally goes exactly to the heart of what Eli Natan and I were discussing. The other side of it is Melichas HaMincha is Ma'akev, and yet Melicha is counted as a separate mitzvah. What I'm trying to say is that in order for something to be Ma'akev, it doesn't need to be in a single mitzvah. And even if something is part of that mitzvah, it also doesn't mean that it's going to be Ma'akev. And what the Rambam is counting is more conceptual categories. He's counting like a topology rather than things that are like ma'akev and non-ma'akev. Often it's a good criteria, but it's not foolproof. Yeah.
I don't think I understand the sort of discrepancy which you're trying to highlight.
I'm trying to ask why is the Rambam Machalik? So what you might have said is things that are in a single file is because they're all fundamental to that thing.
You're saying why is the Rambam Machalik between or and achilas?
Really, why is he... my bigger question is, why is Achilas Basar outside? And then I'm just saying, especially given that or is inside, like, why would that be?
Meaning, part one, let's say you hold Mitzos Tzrichos Kavanah. So I would assume that... So you would say that's a general din. That's not a din prati. It's not like there's the Mitzos Tzrichos Kavanah of this mitzvah.
No, but Mitzos Tzrichos Kavanah would be part of that mitzvah. You wouldn't count it as every mitzvah. That would be something that got, is part of the guidelines of how you do a particular mitzvah.
But then why wouldn't I look at each individual mitzvah and determine on an individual basis whether or not that mitzvah requires kavanah?
First of all, you might. I mean, you really might. You really might. I mean, there are differences between mitzvahs.
When the Gemara says mitzvahs kavanah, mitzvahs kavanah,
typically you'd think all things being equal, it's a general rule, but we have this is not even like, you know, there's very good evidence that you'd be machalik between mitzvos there. Like kufa because of that. It's how much does it become, what you're saying, I should have said this in a different way. I agree with you. I think what you're saying is very right. But I think it's the same, it's ultimately what I'm kind of rejecting as a possibility here. The real question is how core something is in terms of its definition, like how, in your example, how core is kavanah to this particular mitzvah, krishma, for example. So how core is kavanah there, or achilas kachin, by the way. How core are these things to this particular mitzvah, you know, and would they be ma'akev? Versus, you know, if they're independent, you know, maybe not. If kavanah is more of like a general, universal requirement, so you might say, how could that ever be ma'akev? You know, either way, I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying what matters more, the distinction that matters more, is whether something is intrinsic or extrinsic / external.
So
I think you're agreeing with me.
Okay,
you're saying it's so pasha that...
No, I still don't think...
Yeah, sorry. Okay.
Because if there's a din or a mitzvah which isn't specific to a particular karma, but is nevertheless... So, I thought you were sort of saying, well, so you see this sort of paradox that I have something which is ma'akev, but it's not really related to the korban because it's counted as a separate mitzvah. But maybe it is very fundamental, but there's a commonality that all korbanos have.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
The maskana, yeah.
Great.
But it's an important paradox. Like, I wanted to be clear. Like, I think it is an important... Like, I don't know if you would have necessarily said that about this or about other examples. You know, you mentioned mitzvah shiyus kavana. I think it is important to point out, like, we often think in, like, the binary terms of something that really matters is usually ma'akev, because it matters. Something that doesn't is usually it's fine if you do away with it. I think here is an example. It's not the only example, by no means. I think the Rambam is clearly setting that up. That what's more important is that there, even if achila is the most important thing, which I think for the Rambam it is, it still may not be for him conceptually something that lies within the korban, but beyond the korban as far as the definition and topology is concerned. So I think that's what seems likely to me. So to the Sfas Emes' question of like why the Rambam didn't deal with it, I think the answer is because for the Rambam, to speak about Achilas Kohanim in those terms, I think would just be very difficult. Like the Rambam thinks Achilas Kohanim is really important, and Kohanim Ochlim Ubailim Iskavrim is actually what justifies it as a mitzvah say. It's like because of that, that's why it's a mitzvah say, but it's ultimately a mitzvah say bifnei atzmo. And I think because of that, again, it didn't have to be this way. Because of that, for the Rambam, the discussion is a little bit less pressing than it is maybe, you know, for the Rishonim, for the other Rishonim. You know, and the Rambam's way of telling you, you know, that, you know, Achilas Kohanim is important, but maybe, you know, is not gonna give us like sleepless nights. Like, is it really ma'akev? Might be a function of his counting it and really seeing it, you know, as lying outside of the korban. But this, again, like I said, it didn't have to be that way because this kind of goes in the other way of what I just said. What I was just saying to you. In Asei Peites, if you look, like, and this is very important, in Asei Peites, in source 23, the Rambam basically says that the things to which are applied Kohanim Ochlim Uvailim Iskaprim is what justifies it as deserving a mitzvah aseh. But nevertheless, I now say separately. Rambam writes, "Va'mitzvah peites, he should tziva hakohanim lechol basar kachim, kilomar hachatas ve'asham shem kachay kachim." Exactly. "V'omru v'achlu osam asher kubar bahem." V'lashon sifra minayim she'achilas kohanim kavar l'Yisrael, tamalomar. That's the puzzle from last week's parsha, of 2 weeks, whatever, 2 weeks ago. "V'osan asan lachem lasei," says Avon Ha'ida, "lechaper aleihem," again, that phrase of kapara by achila. And this is important. The Rambam thinks that's like the main mitzvah because it has Kohanim Ochlim Ubailim Iskaprim. So even as it is separate, and you wouldn't look at Ubailim Iskaprim in that way, it is still what justifies its prominence to be counted as a separate mitzvah. Because it's a big statement about Achila nonetheless. And that's why he says that Achilas Kachim Kalim Kohanim, Achila of the Kohanim and Kachim Kalim, is like still a mitzvah, but it's lesser. Because it doesn't have that aspect of Kapara, of Kohanim Ochlim Uvailim Iskaprim. That's why he writes, "Omnam Shar HaKachim Kilomar Kachim Kalim, V'Achilasim Gamkein Hine Gereres Achar HaMitzvah, V'Gamkein HaTruma Hine Achilasim Gereres Achar HaMitzvah. Aval Ein Kilain Z'Achilas Kachim Kalim Etruma, Kimo Achilas Basar Chatos V'Asham, She'Achilas HaBasar Hazeh, Min hachatos min ashem ba tishlam kaparas hamiskaber kemoshe biyarnu ubo ba lashon hatzivoy ba achila mashaloba lo bekachem kalam lo betruma ulufika chinegreres b'mitzvah ba ochel osaus hamitzvah. In the Rambam, nothing is going to be part of no achila is going to be part of meleches hakorba of that mitzvah. But for the Rambam, what's going to, you know, establish the hierarchy in terms of minyan mitzvos and separate mitzvos, it is going to be Kohanim Ochlim Ubailim Iskaprim. And so on the hierarchy, for him, the most likely mitzvah is Achilas Katas V'Ashem, Kachin, which have Kapara. This is in complete contrast to the Ramban. The Ramban felt that it goes the other way. The more something is Kapara, the more it's part of the essence of the Ram. I should say like this: the Ramban agrees fundamentally with the Minin HaMitzvahs question. He embraces the principle of the Rambam that you don't count Chelek Min HaMalachos. But yet they disagree about this question. Because they agree on that, because there are two assumptions you have to make on each of these Minhag HaMitzvot issues. One is the general one, about like what makes it and what doesn't. And two is the specifics of each mitzvah. So he agrees on the principle, but he disagrees about how to go about the achila ones. He thinks, I'll say it outside, that the more something is central, is kapara, the more likely it's chelek min hamalachos, and not counted in a separate mitzvah. So kachim kalim, for example, has a better chance at being counted in min hamitzvah separately than kachay kachim, the exact opposite of the Rambam. Look at the Ramban in Hasagas in 24. We'll skip just a little bit. The Rambam at the underline, he says, Aval b'matnos kahuna. He actually is not attacking the Rambam on Rambam's counting Lashon Achila. It's curious. It's interesting. Aval b'matanos kahuna sheve migdash kigon chelka min arkarbanos lo nimna nisinasan mitzvah. So we're not going to count matnos kahuna that come from karbanos. This is all of Kachem now. Why are we not going to count them as a separate mitzvah? Lefi sheloba behind kasav mitzvah osanuba mitziva osanuba aval hein chelek hashem shelokach min karbanos kimo sheziva beimurim leishim. An amazing, and this one's the emurim leishim of actually just being maktir emurim as a part of the korban. Haktaras emurim is of course not a separate mitzvah. It's shchita, zrika, haktara. So the same way that's case, Ramban saying also about Achilas Kachin. Very fascinating comparison already, that he sees that as the same. I pointed out that in some way the Achila may even be more, but okay. Kein siva b'matanos l'kohanim. Ki eschaze hatnuva v'esho kachuma l'kachli meis b'nei Yisrael, v'ateno som l'aron hakoin ulevanav. That's by the shok and the chaze v'shok. That's by Kachin Kalim. But now here's the key line. The kol shekain, right, like I said before, it's going to be, you're going to be more likely to count something which is less central to the korban. So now he's saying, you're not going to count shlamim, because that also is just an extension of the korban. It's like the emure ha-korban. The kol shekain, you're not going to count hachatas ve'asham. Shehem kulam lo yisvara. V'hu mechaye bohem misharsav. V'af al pi shenemar v'shok hayamin. Tidnu truma lakoin, einenu tziboy, aval rashi lakoin v'matana, he has to address that, v'yachaz l'aron levon of kishneim inyan echad u'matana achas. V'haklal b'kol chelke ha'kohane min ha'karbanos, she'i matana sh'rash Hashem yisbarach l'aron levon of, she'i yuzochin bohen mishochan gavoa, she'nema hinei nosati l'cha. Here's a key line. P'nehim chelek mechelke meleches ha'karbanos, exactly what the Rambam did not say, she'tziva bohem mi yochleim, ulemi ihiyu ukaparasam tluyavaze kimoshe amru kima de kohanim lo achli basar lo havi kapara lebailim dichsiv beachlu asam asher kuba ben vihinehem beachilas habasar vihinehem korban mamish vihinehem korban mamish. So it doesn't, not going to be counted separately, because that's the heart, you know, part and parcel of the korban mamish. But the reason, again, but because of this, the Ramban's distinctions got caught in the other way from the Rambams. And like I said, I think this Ramban may be possible to link it up, you know, with the Chidushei Ramban in terms of the role of Kohanim Ochlim Ubal Viskaparim, how to ascertain, you know, the implications of that phrase. The time is taking a little bit longer than I expected, so this ends up being a lishitaso and the Rambam and the Ramban when it comes to the question of achilas kachim kalim lebailim. That's in general a big question. Rashi in the Tesem Abayis famously seems to say that it would be a mitzvah, the achilas kachim kalim for the bailim, and it's connected to v'achlu osama sharkuba behem, because the context there, and that's what Rashi says, the context there is Aaron uvanav eating karbano kachim that is impacting them. They're not only the makrivim, but they're the bailim. And v'achlu osama sharkuba behem is addressed to them, you know, at once kohanim and bailim. Those two identities are merged, and that's Rashi says that on the Chumash. that would justify it being a mitzvah for the Bailim as well. The Ramban thinks that there should also be a mitzvah to eat, you know, he says, Bechor, Umayser Sheni B'Yushalayim. That's in the Shichas Asin Aleph. And he criticized the Rambam for not counting that as a mitzvah. Obviously, what we would be able to say for the Rambam is for him, he may not count that, and the Megillas Esther kind of says this, you know, in his own way. The Rambam may not count that because for him, what justifies counting something in minimum mitzvahs is gufa, something that is more intrinsic to the korban. Kohanim ochlim u'balim miskaprim. It's never going to be part of the chelek min hamalachos. But outside of that, beyond that, in order to justify being a minhag mitzvos, it's going to have to play a central role. And of course, you know, kachim kalim lebailim doesn't play that role. That doesn't mean the Rambam couldn't count it for another reason. As the Ramban seems to say that the reason it's counted, and this is where the Ramban himself is l'shitaso, is because it has to do with eating it in Yerushalayim. That in Yerushalayim, a person eats basar, it increases Talmud Torah and Yira Shamayim, and he quotes the Pesukim by Ma'aser Sheni. For the Ramban, the reason to count that is because there's a mitzvah to eat that experience of eating Kachim Kalim, Bechoros, and Ma'aser Sheni in Yerushalayim entrenches a person in Avodas Hashem. And so the Mechayiv is not the Achila per se, but is the methodology of developing, you know, a greater sense of Yira Shamayim through the entire experience. So the Rambam could have thought that would qualify also as a legitimate mechayev for the mitzvah, and count it. But short of that, if not for that, of course, it's very. We understand that the Rambam is very consistent in thinking that achilas kachim, you know, becomes a mitzvah the more critical it is to the korban. The more you have things like kohanim ochlim u'bailim miskaprim. And then, you know, Nigra HaMitzvah, you know, after them. And the whole thing is just very interesting in the Sefer HaMitzvos, in that whole discussion back and forth. But we'll leave it for now. The important thing to take out is that the Ramban, Lishitaso, thinks, at least let's say like this, default, he's more willing to count things in the minyan mitzvos that lie outside of the korban, because if they lie within the korban, they won't be a separate mitzvah. They'll just be part of the korban mamash. The Rambam, who is in the opposite way, thinks that that something, again, just default, is justified by being more critical to the korban, so it's less surprising to us that short of a mechayev of simcha, this like new separate mechayev, that the Rambam would omit counting the mitzvah of Achilas Bechoros and Ma'aser Sheni B'Yerushalayim. And the Arayim kind of has like an in-between, you know, view to all of that. That was just the kitzer of that Lishitaso. The Minchas Chinuch, the Sefer HaChinuch, commenting on this debate, actually says in Source 28, talking about the mitzvah of Achilas Kache Kachim, he quotes the Ramban, Zichrono Levracha, Lo Yimne Mitzvazu. He basically says, the Rambam, just confirming our analysis, that the Ramban doesn't count the mitzvah of Achilas Kachei Kachim. That's what of mitzvah peites. He doesn't count that mitzvah in the Rambam, of mitzvah peites. Ki Amar Shezeh Chelek Mechelke Mitzvah HaKarbanosu, Shetziva Hashem Yisbarach Bohem Mi Yochleim Ulimi Yiyu Va'emes Shehakapara Tluya Bazeh. And basically setting up the Rambam and the Ramban in this debate, whether or not to count V'achlu Osama Shekuba as a mitzvah, or just as a chelek min ha-mitzvah. The Minchas Chinuch points out, you know, that it was very troubling as the Ramban doesn't ever take it out of min ha-mitzvah. At the end of the Sefer, the Ramban takes out certain mitzvahs, but V'achlu Osama Shekuba seems to remain, and that's like a little bit of a problem that needs to be dealt with. But for the most part, again, leaving that all that aside, it seems to be this machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban related to exactly everything we've been speaking about how central achila is to the process of every particular korban, or it's more independent, even if very significant, aspect. And before I take up Rami's question, with all this as background, That is the longer part. Like, I knew it would be the longer part. With all that as background, I just want to, you know, try to briefly speak about how Achilas Shearim Menachos fits into all of this. Yeah.
I was wondering if this machlokas between Rambam and Ramban setting up would kind of extend to what you brought in earlier about like Sicha or Tufa, where there also might be like Kapara components to it.
Yeah, I think there'd be parallel questions.
If that, yeah, I mean, if it really flows through the whole way.
But again, but like Smicha, they all count as one because I think, you know, they're the Rambam and the Ramban are going to agree. But it does become this like really interesting question in general. You know, we're just focusing on it in terms of Achila, right? That's what you meant?
Yeah.
Josh, I don't think I'm understanding the Machlokas Ramban that you're trying to set up.
I'm just saying that the Ramban thinks we don't count any of these. The Rambam counts Achila's Kachin, as Mitzvah say. The Ramban does not.
Correct.
Ramban thinks, as the Sefer Chinuch later explains, that because these are just Achila's HaKorban, is Chelak Min HaMalachos, we don't count it. Ramban thinks it's Korban Mamish. So therefore, it's just going to be part of each Korban. Ola is Ola. Chatas is Chatas, etc. Although the Ramban doesn't have that either. But the Rambam, however, thinks that Achila is always independent from the core process of Korban. That's it. If that makes sense to you, and that's why he counts it as a separate mitzvah, not as a chelek of the mitzvah. If that makes sense to you, and that works, then that's all I'm saying. Does that make sense? Not really. I'm asking, why would you count it as a mitzvah, and why would you not?
That doesn't directly relate necessarily to the perspectives in Rishonim that you were...
It does in the sense that those perspectives were also about trying to provide a model or a spectrum of views as to how much Achilas HaKohanim is core to the Korban, or is not.
Well, I guess...
And I think Kapara is not the only question.
But, I mean, the problem is that, like, the Ramban, it almost seems like a stira.
Yeah.
The Ramban can, like until the Ramban comes to that last line, it's like he's saying, there's no mitzvah.
No. Yeah, so that's
like,
an important...
It's like a din.
No, that's an important with chelek ha-mitzvahs. I mean, chalokim are not less important than separate mitzvahs. Ezrikas Adam, I mean, what, you know, it's there's no mitzvah to be Zoreg Adam. It's still important, and so... You always count it. That's kind of what I meant at the very beginning. The question is just like how to count it. It's counted as a chelek rather than as separate in the Tariyah. So I think the Ramban is consistent through and through. The whole time he's saying this goes into the file of every single korban because it's core to the process. It's korban mamish. Ramban doesn't think that. Achilas Shearim Menachos.
Core isn't defined strictly by kapara, is it?
No. I just think it's a big part of it. Yeah, I'm not resolving necessarily everything, but it's kind of like 80 or 90% of it, whatever, you know, whatever it is. I don't know the number, 70, if to be more humble about it. I hope not. I hope what we're saying, is more than that. Okay, so when it comes to Achilas Shearim Menachos, many count just one mitzvah for Achilas Kachim or none at all. In other words, they kind of assume that Achilas Shearim is part of the general mitzvah of Achilas Kachim. Do I have that with me? Oh no. I think I'm forgetting, but I think the The Bahag is interpreted in two different ways. The way that Rashbatz understands the Bahag is that there's no mitzvah at all for Achilas HaKohanim, Achilas Kachim, Kachim. It's all part of the Chelek. And the way that Rav Sajagon, the Rav Yeruchim Mishal Perlo, understands the Bahag is that there's just one mitzvah that includes all Kachim. Bein Kachim Kachim, Bein Kachim Kalim, Achilas Bailim. Either one of those perspectives, basically, as far as Menachos is concerned, basically just treats Achilas Shearim Menachos along with the other mitzvos, along with the other achilos. However, the Rambam, and possibly Rav Sajagon, think that there's a separate mitzvah in the Taryag for Achilas Shearim Menachos. If you look in the Koteret, in Hilchos Ma'aseh Korbanos, page 7, source 30, the Rambam writes, That one mitzvah in Zayin is sheyochlu akwan and basar kachay kachim in Mikdash, and then in Yud Zayin, and again, there's some differences in the Lashonos, it's sheyochlu akwan and shayari menachos. And again, in the Rav Sajigon, in the poem, we read a lot of poetry in this room often, in the regular shir. So, in Rav Sajigon, if you just have a look, it's very interesting. Also, I wanted people to see this. If you weren't aware, it's in Menachos in general. He has Or HaOla in the end of the first line. I'm not going to do it in like a poetic, you know, even though I'm an English major, I'm sure all of you are expecting me to do it. Or HaOla Lekane Tzivyon, but then he has this other thing, Tzivyon Minchas Soles, Machvas Marcheshes Chalos Urikikel Lehe Arech. And Rav Yochum Vashemarot deals with the fact, it sounds like he may count five separate mitzvos for the five Minchos Nedava. But then he also has Bris Melach, and he has michlas kachim, achilas kachim, umechalkos minachos tidrach, which initially Rav Sajigon understands, Rav Yochum Vashaprola understands Rav Sajigon as thinking that like the Rambam, there are two separate mitzvos, one for achilas kachim, kachim, basar, chatas v'asham, and one for shayare minachos. Yireim has this as well. The question is, no, but that's why I made it clear. Rav Yochum Vashaprolau assumes at the beginning that that's what. That's what he. That's how he interprets those phrases. Initially, he rejects it in the end, which we will we'll get to. And this is an interesting phenomenon. Like, why would you ever think to count Achilas Shayarei Menachos separate from Zvachim? This is another opportunity, like to explore, you know, the broader differences between Zvachim and Menachos. Although we'll be doing, as best as we can, like a much, much quicker treatment of it than I had hoped. The Minchas Chinuch that we read earlier interestingly points out that the Sefer HaChinuch doesn't make his statement about the Ramban in the mitzvah of Achilas Shayarei Menachos. In other words, whereas by Achilas Kachay Kachim, the Sefer HaChinuch wrote, the Ramban doesn't count this, he doesn't say that about the separate mitzvah of Achilas Shayarei Menachos. And the Minchas Chinuch wonders why that's true. And he really entertains the possibility that the Ramban as well, at least in the Sefer HaChinuch's worldview, was also mechalek between Achilas Kachay Kachim and Shayarei Menachos. And so that's like an interesting thing that happened, you know, in the Sefer HaChinuch and the Minchas Chinuch in between the lines. So there's all this evidence, and the question is, you know, how do we explain why would a separate mitzvah be counted, and why is it not just part of the mitzvah of Achilas Kachay Kachim? Menachos are Kachay Kachim, and many of the dinim in the Achila are the same, Yom V'Laila, the Azara. So that's the question. Why are they different than Zvachim? The main Gemara is in Yevamos, Lamitesem Ebeiz, Tumem Amad Aleph, which is also, I think Rav Rosenblatt confirmed this with me, is also one of the most important Gemaras in the introduction for the Limud of Yevamos, because it's dealing with the mitzvah of Yibum and Chalitza Kodemes LeYibum, or Yibum Kodemes LeChalitza. So we'll be seeing this again next year, and now we can pater ourselves from the Menachos part on some level. There, the Gemara deals with a similar question about, it doesn't just appear in the Masecht, in other words, they're parallel problems. The Gemara there is talking about whether or not Yibum should be a mitzvah, and in the same way, it's wondering about whether Achilas Shayarei Menachos should also be counted, not counted, but should also be a mitzvah zaseh, kum v'yaseh. So in the Gemara in Menachos, we'll read it, in source number 33, it's an amazing Gemara. Gemara says, Rava Amar Afilu Tema Rabbanan, which is how the Rambam paskins, like the Rabbanan, and not Abba Shaul. They read the Medrash, the Sifra in a certain way. V'achikam. Pasuk says, V'yibam yivama yavo aleha. He should do that. It's a mitzvah. But why do you say that it's a mitzvah? Why do you have to say it's a mitzvah? Shebitchila heter bichlal, haisa bichlal heter. Originally, a man's sister-in-law was permitted to him. She wasn't his sister-in-law before she got married to his brother. And Ratza Konsa, Ratza Eina Konsa, so he had an option. You don't have to marry any particular woman. He had a choice. But then, when the wedding happened, and this girl got married to his brother, Nasra, she became usher to him, she became an erba. So then when the husband, when the brother dies, the husband dies, you might have thought, Chazra v'hutra, yachol tachzer lehetera harishon. Ratza konza, ratza eno konza. You could have thought you have a choice whether or not to marry this woman, that it goes back to the original heter. We ignore the history that that happened, you know, their relationship, you know, their prior relationship. And you could have thought that it's, she's like nothing to me. We have no relationship whatsoever. Mara just responds, Rata Eno Konsa, Ha Gida Be, Bichdi, Tebuk, there's obviously Zika. He can't just not marry, he has to do something. So Ela Ema Ratza Konsa Ratza Choletzla. Could have thought it's a heter, it's a davar, you know, harishus. So comes along, the Gemara says, to preclude that notion, we shouldn't think Gibum is merely a rishus ba'alma. It's interesting that we could have thought that. Tama lomar yivama yavo alea mitzvah. Good. And it's a mitzvah to do Yibum. That's the view of the Rabbanan, who say Yibum is preferential over Chalitza. Oh. That's how the Rambam goes. Ema Resha, so then now comes ours. Matzos, it's going to do a similar thing with Achila Sher Menachos. Ema Resha, Matzos Teachel B'makom Kadosh Mitzvah. Originally, when you had this flour, oil, and whatever else in your house, do whatever you want with it. Use it for Shabbos, use it for Yontif, for regular night. But then Nesra, when you were makdish it, beklisharis, and now it needs the hakrava of Karba Mincha, the whole thing became aser prior to Kmitza. Techazar v'hutra, and after haktaras hakomet, it came back, the shirayim that have now, you know, that you've now done a kmitza with, should go back to the original heter. It's like nothing, nothing at all. It's like lahavdil, the mosar haomer. You needed it just for the process, you know, to distill what you needed. But then just, you know, send it away. It has no significance. The fact that it was part of the kmitza doesn't matter at all. Chazra leheter harishon, yachzol tachzor leheter harishon. You could have thought that about chayare haminachos. Tamalomar matzos teachel b'makom kadosh mitzvah. You have to teach me that in fact eating the shayare menachos is a mitzvah teoraisa. Skipping ahead just a little bit in this Gemara. V'haksiv, the second to last line. How could you say that this is what the Gemara means? This the Torah's called this, the Medrash means. The Sifra means. How could you say that's what it means? You would have had a Havamina that you don't have to eat the Shayari Menachos, but Siva Ochlovosan, Asher Kubar Bohem, Melame Chakwanim Ochlum Balam Eskaprim, Bam Kasha on the Sifra, on this interpretation. How could you say it's coming to teach me you have to eat them? I already know you have to eat them. Kachi Kachim, Ochlosam Rashkurim, it's a single mitzvah. This is exactly what we're dealing with. It sounds like there's no basis to count Shayari Menachos. It's separate. It's the same thing. It's Ba'achlo Asam Asher Kuper Bahem. Indeed, this is exactly what... What was that?
I just didn't understand. The Gemara is just emphasizing...
First, how could you read the Ratza Ochla, Ratza Eina Ochla, as being whether or not you have to eat them? It must mean something else. It's an option between two other things, because we could have never had a Havamina that you don't have to eat it. Why couldn't you have a Havamina? Ba'achlo Asam Asher Kuper Bahem. We already know there's a mitzvah to eat Shirayim, of Basar, of Menachos, all the same. So Gemara says that's untenable. At this stage in the Gemara, it's basically a Bam Kasha on the Rambam. Exactly as, you know, the Briskarov and others, you know, point out, it sounds like Shayari Menachos are part of the mitzvah, the pasuk of Achlu Osam Asher Kubar Bahem. In the Gemara, in Menachos on Ayin Gimel, Amid Aleph, Gemara is talking about Minchas HaOmer, Minchas Kenos, whether or not the Kohanim eat the Shirayim of those. And it brings a separate pasuk, L'chol Minchasam. You need a separate pasuk to tell you that you eat the Shirayim. Mar says, why do you need a separate pasuk for these Shirayim of Minchas Omer, Minchas Kenos? Sagadai dechamina v'achlu osama sharkubu brahem amarachmana v'hai lahatir ka'asya v'idach nami levar ka'asya. That the Minchas Omer is just lahatir chadash and Kenos levar avon. They're not for the purposes of kapara. So you would have thought they're not bichlal v'achlu osama sharkubar bahem, but l'chora every other mincha the Gemara seems to be implying would have been a part of that, and that's why you only need a separate pasuk for minchas haomer and minchas kinaos. Kamashmon, the whole minchasam, that you also eat the shirayim, despite the fact that these are not korbanos that are focused around kapara. So this gemara, and at least seems like our gemara, would seem to suggest that menachos should be bichlal, v'achlu osam, asher kubo b'hem, and that's exactly the Grizz's question. I should note that the Aruch Lanier, on our gemara, in Yivamos, does kind of question the whole notion of v'achlu osam asher kubo b'hem as applying to menachos. Are menachos related to kapara? I mean, the minchos nedava you bring if you want to bring it. Is there a kapara component to that? He finds it very hard to imagine. Again, also this goes against these gemaras. He's asking on these gemaras, how could it be that it's included in v'achlu osam asher kubo b'hem, you know, when there's no obvious kapara? And that would obviously, in theory, be a possible explanation for the Rambam, that if there is indeed no kapara for menachos, you need to find some other makor for shayare menachos. But again, you have a problem with these gemaras. You have to explain the gemaras that extended to it. The truth is, though, that there's a gemara, I think Avrami showed this to me a while ago, that does kind of link up with Marcheshes and Machmas, some notion of kapara, and some of the, I know the Nativ, you know, seems to accept that lamaskana, even though it's rejected in the gemara. So, remains to be seen, in other words, whether or not there's a kapara component in menachos. If there's not, that would be an explanation of why you need a separate mitzvah. That's how what's his name? The Chidush Arilev, what's his name? Marmalin. That's how he goes with it. Fascinating, you know, thinker in general. And in the piece, it was fascinating. But I'm not going to open the floor, you know, to everyone's thoughts about the piece. Everyone seems very excited about it. But that is a mahal kind of he takes. You still have to deal with the Gemaras. But it definitely is one possibility. You could kind of close the books here. If Achul Osam Ashakupo Rahem is just insufficient to include Menachos. But again, there might be a kapara aspect to Menachos. And if there is, and if we don't want to write that off, we need to look a little bit further. And these Gemaras are kind of putting it up in that way. So at this stage so far, it seems like with the Gemaras, with the Grizz, why would you think, it sounds like Menachos should be included in V'achlu Osam Asher Kuburam. Yes, Eli Nasa. What is? No, Ram has two. Ram has only.
He separates.
He has Kachim in Zvachim, and then he has Menachos. He has Zvachim and Menachos.
I think.
I mean, conceptually, I don't. I'm not. We have to talk. That's complicated.
It's very clear. I think.
Okay.
But I think Ram gets it.
How does the line in the Gemara go? Like Lididi, Taratzta, or something? What is it? Like to you, it's a question, and to me, it's a question. How does it go? Yeah, like I don't know. Okay, fine, whatever it is. What do you want to say?
I think Ram's comes with Midrash Halacha. If you look at Midrash Halacha, Sukkim use is according to one. They're kept very different. I think Hashish, that's the Ram's
concept. You'll tell me if you're gonna say what I'm going to say in the end. It sounds like what you're suggesting is probably, you know, in line with what I'm going to say anyway. So maybe just wait. Or we could save everyone the time. But if the Gemara stopped there, that would be the default, to treat Menachos and Zvachim the same. But, you know, Baruch Hashem, the Gemara doesn't stop there, because again, we're trying to explain the Lashon of Matzos Teachel B'Makom Kadosh Mitzvah. Who, what, in other words, does that teach us that's unique about Menachos that wouldn't be included if just from V'Achlu Osam Hashar Kubram? There's something apparently different about Menachos then Karchim, as the Gemara says next, Ella Ratza Hu Ochla, Ratza Kohen Acher Ochla. If just for V'achlu Osam, you could have thought that it doesn't matter which Kohen eats it, any Kohen in the world. Or he could eat it, it's an option. Tamalomer Matzos Teachel B'Makom Kadosh Mitzvah. Kamashulan, that by Menachos, from the Pasuk of Matzos Teachel B'Makom Kadosh, the Kohen Hamakriv himself has to eat it. That's what you would have thought. That's what is the maskana of the Gemara here. That even if the distinction isn't in the very mitzvah, at least in the Havamina, the maskana, they're different. So you could have thought that once they're different in this regard, there's enough nafkamina in terms of who has to eat it, maybe altogether You know, they're just two different things. And that would be the question of whether or not the Havamina is retained Lamaskana. The Havamina is retained Lamaskana. Ah. So this idea that the Kohen himself would have to eat from the Mincha, that he's supposed to eat the whole thing, so that, as Tosos point out, is problematic in light of other Gemaras. The clearest problem is with the Gemara in the opening to the 12th paragraph of Zvachim, but for some reason Tosos and the Ramban, when they deal with this question, they don't quote. That's the bigger problem. But they kind of explain the Tosos is coming from the Gemara in Kiddushin, which seems to imply that when it comes to Achilas HaKorbanos, all of the Kohanim are able to eat it. That ish ke achiv, the pasuk l'chol b'nei Aaron tiyeh ish ke achiv. The question is how to resolve that. On the one hand, you have a gemara that sounds like everyone could eat it, l'chol b'nei Aaron tiyeh ish ke achiv. But on the other hand, you have this gemara that sounds like who achla, he has to eat it. So Tosas kind of give two different answers, and these are kind of the answers, you know, generally speaking, given with some nuances. One answer is basically to say that Enachanami. I'll say it like this. The first answer is basically to say that the way to understand the two Gemaras is by like a Kosev Ashlishi Machriya Veneya. It's not that every Kohen, and it's also not that Dafka this Kohen, but it's something in the middle. It's the Kohen of the Mishmar or the Besav. They were divided into the 24 Mishmaros. They had the 6 Batei Av in each Mishmar. So the mitzvah, the Ku Ochla, is not the guy who's actually being makriv the korban, but it's on behalf, the shlichas he's doing, on behalf of the entire base av, that would be one level, that's like a more intimate unit, that particular day, that's how the Rambam sounds, or the entire mishmar of the whole week. But that, there, he's acting, in other words, in the capacity that, the actual makriv is just acting on the behest of the entire, all the kohanim, they're all the makrivim, are like some of the lishonos that that the Rishonim use. So it's in effect like the Kohen HaMakriv is eating the whole thing, but another a Kohen outside of that is not able, I don't know, he's allowed to eat it, but he doesn't get, the mitzvah is not for him to eat it, it's for these Kohanim. That's one way he resolved it. So the other way is to kind of say both of them are true, that really any Kohen in the world could eat it, but the Kohen HaMakriv himself has to also be part of that Achila. And this is part of the kezai, how much the kezai is, a kol shuv, how much does the kohen makrav have to eat? And so it's interesting also, some, in quoting this answer, some say kezai is, some just say miktsas mimenu. I don't think you could prove so much from it, but that's kind of how the other way to resolve the problem, that they're actually, this gemara is telling us there's a special din, that notwithstanding the ability for all kohanim to eat it and to get a portion, this kohen also has to be part of that process. That apparently it's significant in Menachos, in Menachos Dafka, for the Kohen HaMakriv, or by extension the Mishmar, to eat of this korban. It's a fascinating concept, and what does it tell us about the nature of Achila, that the person who does the Avoda has to also eat, either him or the entire group, has to eat from this korban. A very interesting idea. Like, one thing that needs to be figured out, which I'm not going to do now, is which makriv? You know, it's not obvious that the same person is doing all of the avodos. So do they all have to eat from it? Does the one who does Rika have to eat from it? That's kind of like one kind of question practically, like how to figure this out within Tosos when it comes to the Mincha. Oh, I shouldn't be saying that. The guy who does the Haktara, the guy who does the Kolmetz, you know, that's kind of one question. And the other, you know, more interesting, the other like more conceptual question is like, what does this tell us about Achila? Like, why should it be that it's Dafka, the person who's Makriv, or the people, the Makrivim, that have to eat from this Korban? And you wonder a little bit if it's as a way of kind of connecting the Hakrava and the Achila. We don't find that the person who does Shkita has to do Zrika. Even if you say Achila is important, Kohanim Ochlim, Ubalim Eskaprim, or Matzos Teachel, that doesn't necessarily mean that therefore you have to, the person who does the korban should also be the one, you know, to do the other thing. One avoda, another avoda. By saying that someone who does some other part of the avoda has to eat part the shayari menachos, you're saying two things. One, that apparently we want to incorporate that this is a part of the process of the korban. But you're also saying another thing, which is that uniquely by achila, uniquely by achila, we dafka need to make more of an effort to connect it to the rest of the korban, and you do that by having someone who is part of the korban process eat, you know, the shayare menacha. On some level, that obviously is very consistent with having a havamina, that you may have thought the shirayim are a davar shel heter, are chul in the gamre. That's what I wanted to say about that din in the Gemara. But what emerges either way is this difference between menachos and zvachim. And that would have been a good basis alone, on some level, to count it as a separate mitzvah. The problem with it is that it seems clear to me that the Rambam doesn't make this distinction. It seems clear to me that the Rambam ultimately applies what was said about menachos to all kachim. He thinks that the base av has to eat of every korban. They have to be the ones to eat the korbanos in every case. And that's the Rambam. I'm not going to read it. That's the Rambam in source number 39. Yeah, Shua.
That's an interesting answer. I was thinking that Rambam was of a different answer also, especially in light of the Rasajigal, where he writes, "Michlas kachim, michlakos menachos pidrach."
Yeah, I should have said that Rav Sadia Gaon has this very, very long piece, and he thinks that's the key distinction. If you could uphold that distinction between menachos and zvachim, you count it as two. But if not, it's going to be one mitzvah. So in the end, because of the Rambam, he says the Rambam thinks there's no distinction in regard to who eats it, so therefore they would have to be one mitzvah just for that. And he thinks it's impossible. He just like throws the Rambam kind of aside, and he's like, okay, but I'll try to explain where Saja goes. He does that a lot. Yeah, sorry.
Right. I saw that piece also. So I was thinking that the Saja and Rav Yochanan Karlo doesn't pick up on this difference, but Saja changes from Michlas Kachim to Michlakos Menachos.
Okay.
And if you look at the Sukkim, it's very clear, that even the Makar that the Rama has found, Rosar Menu Yochlo Aron Vadav, it's very clear that there's like this extra emphasis on Menachos being almost like a Matos Kuhn. Almost being like a paradigm for chalukah l'kohanim. If you look elsewhere, also the menachos are the makar that you can't be holy. Menachos can negate
tzvachim.
So the idea that dafka the kohen amakre, or certainly if you say the first one that it's the kohen of the beis av or the mishmar has to be the one to eat it, it could be because menachos.
It's like important that there's like an equal division here.
I'm saying that menachos, in a certain respect, accentuate the role of the kohen perhaps more than zvachim.
Why would that indicate that it's more of a role?
That's why we're saying michlakos menachos, right? But the idea of giving the kohanim this.
But if all the kohanim in the world can eat it, why is that less of an accentuation of kohen than if only a limited group? But the idea would be that in Ashar Kachim, all the Kohanim could be able to eat it, as opposed to Menachos,
right,
where only a limited group.
Right.
So why does that accentuate the role of the Kohen? You're saying he's more connected to the Schar. That's what you mean? You know, that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess.
Is that what you mean?
In other words,
his role in the Avodah is so crucial here.
A little different than Schar for the Avodah. I mean, you could pull back outwards, right? That it's interesting that there's no role of a czar anywhere in Mincha as opposed to Shkita.
No, I know. I'm just saying, how would it explain the final like the difference?
Because the idea that this Kohen was necessary to create this Mincha, right? So you would want to
right. Not Schar. You're just saying yeah. I understand more than Schar. It's like he really matters, his persona, like just as part of this, like he has to eat it. Like he gave of himself and he did so much here, not as like a schar, but as like a din.
It emphasizes the potential of the coming and his impact.
Right. Yeah, I hear that. Yeah. And again, and if this distinction ended up remaining, that would be very compelling, even though it doesn't, I think this is what you were alluding to, the fact that like it comes from the world of Menachos maybe, if it does, you know, would still be a reason maybe to consider conceptually the difference of the achila in menachos than in zvachim. That would definitely be one answer.
I think
the Rambam doesn't have this distinction, and so I want to make a different suggestion that's based on what the Rambam actually does tell us, the little he does tell us about the mitzvah of Achilas Yerami Nachos, but
I
not.
I think to sort of boost what Shul was saying, the Gemara Menachos that you quoted, it's not muchrach. Like, you can either take the direction you were taking it, and Avrami, that you see from this Gemara come to us that there's Kepar Menachos, or you could say Fakert. You could say, and what the Gemara there is trying to do is just trying to know that it's mutter for the coming to eat. And the Gemara doesn't. So. It could be Lamaskana. The Gemara is not saying you see that even though we thought that Minchas or Minchas Knos were like void of Kapara, Kamashwan, they have Kapara, and that's why the Kohen's eating it. You could say, no, the Kohen's allowed to eat it even.
Yeah, I think that's for sure true. Rabbi Akiva Block, I wanted to get him in. Rabbi Akiva Block, who was in the call a long time ago, in the ninth Choveret, like the Kol Tzvi, speaks about Shurim and Achos. So he has his whole Mahalich. I'm not going to talk about it, but I thought it's nice, like, to have a level of like continuity, like in the Kolel. So he tries to read the Gemara in Menachos that way, and I think it's a very interesting read. I don't think it's as easy to read the Gemara in Zvachim that way, in Yevamos that way.
No, totally.
Yeah. So then you'd have to kind of still say it's V'achlu Osam Asher Kubar Bahem. Okay. So what the Rambam does tell us, and really we're closing in. The Rambam tells us in Sefer HaMitzvos Peches, I think all we need to know to understand this. I won't say the Rambam is trying to justify in Sefer HaMitzvos his counting it separately, but I also would not say that. The Rambam in Source 40 talks about the mitzvah. He says Shetziva establishes the mitzvah. Shetziva Kohanim Lechol Shayari Menachos. He quotes nothing else except the Sifra from our Gemara in Yevamos. V'lashon Sifra te'achel mitzvah. Kayotze bo yimama yavo alea mitzvah. Rotze lomar she'achilas shayari menachos kimo be'ilas ha'yivama shehi mitzvah sasei lo inyan heter bilvad. Lo inyan heter bilvad. Reminding us of the Havamina. And you would have thought that Shayari Menachos is Dvarim Shalma, it's Indian Heter, it's Chulin, Kamash Milan, it's not. Ukfaris Baru, Dine Mitzuzu, Vimkom, Msechas Menachos, Vichule. Veloshna Torah, Shemitzuzum Yuchez Bizcharim, From Yisala Kol Zachar Bivne Aaron, Yochlena. What's fascinating is that the Rambam ultimately accepts the interpretation of the Sifrei, Sifra, the Lo Aliba, the Maskanu Yavamos. The Gemara Mos rejected that. The Gemara Mos thought Va'achlu Osam should cover it, and Matzos Te'achel just teaches us the nafkamina of who has to eat it. But the Rambam interprets the Gemara prior in the way that the prior to Va'achlu Osam's intervention. For the Rambam, it sounds like the Sifra is teaching us about this Havamina and Maskana you would have had by Shayori Menachos. And in fact, I think that in addition to being maybe just a way to read the Sifra, not in the Bavli, that the Yerushalmi upholds this version, the Maskana. The Yerushalmi in the very, 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 very first Yerushalmi, Maseches Yevamos, just again reinforcing like how crucial this is to Yevamos too, basically, I'm not going to read it, but from Rabbi Yossi Pater, the way Rabbi Yossi reads this whole back and forth, this, the Fisha Haisa Bechlal, Achelo Hegdisha, Bechule, is the way the Rambam has a Levaskana, which is not exactly like the Bavli. Rambam is wont to accept, you know, like Midrashei Halacha and Yushalmi's anyway, if he thinks he's convinced about by it. So you have this Sifra and this Yushalmi, and the Rambam, that's what the Rambam's saying in source number 39. I think the way to explain the Rambam in light of the Sifra is exactly that. One second. The something that Rav Rosen, and it goes really to the heart of something we've been saying about Menachos all along. Rav Rosenzweig, it's really just been like being Gavra Lagavra when people have been presenting, Because I've never, I unfortunately, we didn't get the second, like, Menachos shir from Rebbe, but Rav Rosenzweig, like, suggested a few times that there's, like, a certain, like, an important way to look at the Shirayim. Like, are the Shirayim just, in the end of the day, a Hechi Timta for the Kometz? And anyway, when you think about it, it's not, the whole Mincha is not Guf Echad, the same way a Korban is Guf Echad. And so once you take the Kometz, you can kind of look at the Shirayim as, like, lesser, as, like, almost like a Dvarim Shel Heter. Or, and once you make the choice for the Kometz, then the rest is just, like, Moser HaOmer. Or, is the fact that you brought this whole thing forward, you know, Behagasha, and you're using the whole thing, anyway, all of the stuff is the same, and anyway, in addition to that, like, it could be you need more as because of Mincha's like default lesser status to a Zevach, you need more maybe to, like, bring the Mincha to the level of a Zevach, that maybe the rest of the Mincha is actually more like the Kometz. On the one hand, because you didn't choose it, you could have thought that it's less, but it could be that the Maskana is that in some respects, not all, but in some respects, it ends up being more because the entire Mincha, you know, is necessary and a crucial, you know, part of this Korban. And I think there's a lot of evidence, I'm going to have to run through it, that we treat and we upgrade Shayari HaMenachos with elevated status that goes way beyond the way we treat Basar Kachim. That we treat, in short, Achilas Shayari Menachos ki Achilas HaMezbeach ki Chelek Avoah. Just to really run through it, I'll read the Rambam that we had in the English translation. You know, I didn't know that I couldn't read from this translation, but Elinatan told me it's not the right one. In source 42, the Rambam is speaking about, in the Moreh, about Minchas Kohen Kalil Taktar, and he says something fascinating that has implications for all Menachos. He says, the reason for the burning of the priest's oblation, that's the translation for Mincha, is as follows. Every priest could offer his sacrifice with his own hands. Accordingly, if he had brought an oblation and eaten it himself, this is key, it would have been tantamount to his not having offered anything at all. For only Lavona and the Kometz were offered upon the altar from the oblation of one private individual. So if then not content with the smallness of the sacrifice, he who brought it had also eaten it, no act of worship at all would have been manifested. Hence the oblation is burnt. The implication is that, he's saying from a more like practical point of view, that because the sacrifice of a Kometz is so small, you need it to be like supplemented and compensated by for with the Shirayim. In the case of the Kohen, the Achila wouldn't be a clear demonstration that he's giving something up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you burn the whole thing. But Mashma, that when it comes to Minchas Yisrael, what about him? Apparently, what is completely being burnt in the case of a Kohen is kind of also how we perceive the act of sacrifice when it comes to Minchas Yisrael, that the Shirayim, I think, are a crucial part of the are as crucial, if not more, the larger part than the Kometz. But this is just, I just wanted, this is the way the Rambam thinks about it, as far as the implications of Kalo Taktar. I'm going to have to skip some, so I'll just pick the most important ones. I'll skip Chametz. The Netziv points out, the Cheskuni earlier, you know, anyone who reads the Pesukim will notice this, that in Sefer Vayikra, in the introduction to Karbanos, the Achila, the Chelak HaKohen is not mentioned at all. That is reserved for Parshas Tzav, with the exception of one korban. You know, we're talking about Mincha. The Mincha is the one exception where not once but twice, with the exact same words, it says "V'hanoseres imena yochlu aron uvana." Something like "yochlu aron uvana." It references the Shirayim, and the Chizkuni makes this point as well. But the Netziv, you know, saying it in his characteristic way, basically explains, and this is a big theme of the Netziv, in all the examples that I gave, the Netziv always features, you know, up front. He's very consistent about this. He says that the reason that it's mentioned up front, if you look at source 43, he says, V'hainu, I'm going skipping to v'hinei b'chol ha-karbanos lo nizkar b'zeh ha-sidra inin achilas kohanim mosaros kachim ad parshas tav perish ha-kaz ha-toras ha-chadas v'chulei zolas mincha v'hainu k'mashka safti I'm skipping la'el b'shem ha-toras kohanim the gimel askaros yesh b'mincha v'achilas ha-kohanim hi askar b'fnei atzma kimo ha-toras ha-komet mishum ha-chi hu shayach l'ikar ha-korban it needs to be mentioned up front in Parshas Vayikra, because it's part of the Ikar HaKorban. Mashenkin Shara Achilas Kohanim, by Kachim in general, Eino Ela Tafel LaHaktaras HaEmurim. What a turn of events. It's less than HaKtaras HaEmurim, right, in light of a lot of things we said. UMechapra also Davar HaKtaras HaEmurim Mechapra. It's more, you know, extraneous. But not when it comes to Achilas Shiraim. It's on the equivalent of the, it's part of the Ikar HaKorban like HaKtaras HaKometz. In the Lashon of Askarasa, the Netziv points out that three times, the Medrash, the Sifra, basically says, if you turn to page 10, that three times Askara by Minchas Yachid, and there are three Askaros in a Mincha, so two are obvious. Sifra in Source 45 says, Askarasa, Niskarim Ba, Niskarim Bekmitza, V'Niskarim Bilvonasa. And again, in the next source. The Darash Mishant on commenting on it just says, Ba is a non-factor. The askaras are what you'd expect, the Lavona and the Komets. Those are the Chelak Avo, after all. So that's what your Niskarim. But the Ravid there, and the Netziv in Source 46, say that Niskarim Ba refers to the Shirayim. That the Shirayim are equally one of the askaros, the things that your Niskar Ba, which is what the Netziv was alluding to. Because it too, he says, he's quoting from source number 46, that gam mashen echeles the kohanim bailim niskarim the kapara gam hataras hakometz gam halavona, maybe even implying that in some way the shirayim is even more critical. I think this comes out of the Isser Chametz as well. It's very rare, as far as it's unprecedented as far as other achilos are concerned, that there are guidelines about the ingredients, about how you're allowed to eat the remains, the basar or the shirayim. The din is, we know this from every morning, that it's nechal, why am I blanking on this? You say it every day. You can eat it however you want. That's one of the phrases in Ezum Mekoman. What is it? B'chol ma'achal, yeah, thank you. Nechal b'chol ma'achal. The idea that you have chametz and the way that it's formulated in the Torah is supposed to have to suffice for now, sounds like that the reason you can't have chametz, you can't eat it, it can't be chametz in shirayim, is because a person can be maktir chametz udvash seor udvash on the mizbeach. Sounds like that it bases the iser chametz in the iser haktara seor on the mizbeach. Again, creating an equivalence between the komets and the, again, something that Netziv points out, and the komets and the shirai. Just finally, just because the hour's late, what really brings us home is the word noseres, which, as we know, in Chazal ended up being, translated into shirai. It always refers to the shirayim as noseres min hamincha. Netziv makes two diukim, points out two things that make noseres different than shirayim. One is that shirayim versus noseres, shirayim usually connotes something that was done b'kavana, where you made a clear distinction between, a conscious distinction between one thing and the other, whereas noseres is more shalo b'kavana, it's more memela. That's one distinction he makes. The second one he makes is that of garua. Yeah, that noseres usually refers to something which is garua, as opposed to shirayim. As it happens, what's funny, Chazal ended up calling these, what?
Like by Kain and Hevel.
Shirayim.
No,
Noseres. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. No,
it's so what's interesting is that those distinctions, Lanias Daiti, cut in these two directions that characterize shirayim, the way Rav Rosenzweig, was suggesting. Because to me, the Shalobik Havana, one kind of makes it sound like, whether it was the Komets or the Shirayim, they're cut, both is the same. You didn't make a hard and fast distinction between the two. So Noseres Menamincha, it's just like the continuation almost of the Komets. As opposed to Shirayim, where you made like a clear division, a clear break between the two. But, you know, the idea of the garua, the tafel, which is also what the Abar Vanel says, is kind of saying like the noseres is like less than something which is Shirayim. Maybe to highlight this like inner tension that on the one hand Shirayim is like different and ultimately not the portion you choose to put on the Mizbeach. Havamina, it will be a Dvarim Shel Heter, Inyan Heter Vilvad. But like a certain level, like a Kamash Malan, at the same time, it's both of those. It also is, you know, like the equivalent and a necessary component of the like the Kometz in the Hakravas HaMincha. You have to bring the whole Mincha forward to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their sacrifice of a Mincha. I think this also comes out, these two sides come out of the Gemara Menachos, what is it, Chesem HaBeis or Tesem HaBeis, when it comes to something Avrami and I discussed a bunch, about even though we say that you can be Makdir the Kometz, Shirayim Shechasru, Bein Kmitza LaHaktara, you can be Makdir the Kometz, so there's a debate about the Achilas HaShirayim, whether or not you should be able to eat Shirayim that became deficient post Kmitza. I think if you also, over there, if you look at there in Rashi, you know, the same kind of idea comes out. You know, on the one hand, the idea that maybe the Shirayim should be a standalone and you should be able to eat them no matter what. But at the same time, maybe the need to be for it to be Mitzarev and Mitzuraf to the Kometz as like a prerequisite for the Achila in order to be Mitzarev, the Achilas HaShirayim, and the Kometz, which is the goal of the Achilas HaShirayim. I think what comes out of all this, therefore, is that the Rambam counted as a separate mitzvah because, to use the way Reb Rosenzweig formulated to me yesterday, even if it is v'achlo samar shakuber bahem, which is a topic, maybe something we need to flesh out more if we had more time, even if it is v'achlo samar shakuber bahem, it also goes beyond that. It's more than just, as the Nitziv said, haktara se murim, you know, a more extraneous thing. It's not quite, nothing for the Rambam is quite a chelek of the korban itself, but it's kind of the closest thing to being like the chelek hakorban, the chelek hagavoah, that the Rambam treats, and in general there's tons of evidence that the chilas hashirayim is like the chelek hagavoah, the haktaras hakometz, and plays an outsized role, a greater role than its equivalent, basar kachekachem. Thank you.